Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Okay, could I have a procedural motion moved?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder for the procedural motion?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
All those in favour of the procedural motion? It's carried. There are times when it makes you really proud to be the mayor of our municipality, and before I start with a very special young man, I want to welcome another young, beautiful lady who I had the pleasure of meeting this evening. At the ripe old age of 19, she was elected into a seat at the Whittlesea Council. Councillor Amelia Sturjova, thank you for coming in this evening and joining us for dinner and to see how our council works. She has now turned 20, and thank you, Councillor Ibushi, for extending the invitation. Thank you, love. Let's give her a round of applause, shall we? Whilst I'm going, I want to acknowledge our Citizen of the Year, Mr. Alan Perry, who would growl at me too. Now I'm going to rise because I've known this young man for a long time. He was the Youth of the Year for the Melton Civic Pride Awards, and he's always been a huge example for our youth in Melton. He was fortunate to become a councillor in the Countback after Councillor Michael Madaluski resigned. Councillor Miles Bentley spent 18 months on council with us. He was like a breath of fresh air. No one wanted to speak after him because his vibrance and the stimulated way in which he could draw a crowd. He was passionate about the Melton community. He didn't like a lot of BS chatter. He got straight to the point, and he was respected by each and every one of us that served with him. So, Councillor Miles Bentley, it gives me great pleasure as the Mayor for the City of Melton to present you with this letter under seal, and I'll read it if I may. This letter under seal records the appreciation of the Council and community of the City of Melton to Councillor Miles Bentley for his service as an elected member of the Melton City Council for the period of 2015-2016. Council is justifiably proud of the numerous achievements which occurred during this time. The result of teamwork, cooperation and vision in a climate of unprecedented growth in population and the many challenges that presented for the delivery of quality services and infrastructure. A highlight of this period was the completion of the significant community infrastructure such as Bridge Road, Hockey and Athletics Centre. Council extends its appreciation to Councillor Miles Bentley for his special contribution during this time, particularly his eloquent contributions to formal meetings. You're going to go down in history, dear. We wish you all the very best for every success in his future endeavours. Council trusts he will enjoy good health and happiness and continue to make an active contribution to our community. The Common Seal of the Melton City Council is hereunto affixed in the presence of myself as the Mayor and the Chief Executive, Calvin Tory. Former Councillor Miles Bentley, would you please come up here, love?
First of all, I'd say thank you to the faces that I remember on here. It was a great 18 months. I was chatting to somebody new and fresh coming on board. I'm glad I get this and I'm not sitting on that side of the table anymore. but it was
fantastic. I could arrange that, I could be sick.
All the best to the new councillors that have come on board and to those who I have served. Thank you very much, guys, and I look forward to working with you from that side of the room.
Now, if I could get a councillor to move out of. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that standing orders be
resumed.
Reissued.
Resumed.
Ad hoc. Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Is there a seconder for that procedural motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I second that.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Okay, we now move on to apologies and leave of absence.
Madam Mayor, Councillor DeSantis is an apology for lateness potentially and hopes to get here at some time later in the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Changes to the order of business?
There are no changes, Madam Mayor.
Deputations?
We have no deputations this evening.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest, conflict of interest of any councillor?
I have a conflict in one of the items, which is 19.1, I believe.
19.2, was it?
Correct, 19.2.
19.2, yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any other? No. The adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting dated the 1st of May and the special meeting of Council dated the 15th of May 2017.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 1st of May 2017 and special meeting of Council held on 15th of May 2017 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. The motion has been moved by Councillor Maidlick. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion before us, Councillors, has been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any Councillor have any clarification? All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 1st of May, 8th of May, 15th of May and 22nd of May 2017 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Is there a seconder for the motion before us?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Thank you, ladies. Before us we have a motion moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor seek further clarification? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Correspondence inwards. Now, we have so many letters from parliamentary dignitaries, and I could barely read most of them, but the first one's in regards to, and I can't even, city plans from the Prime Minister. If anyone wants to read it in full, by all means, come and see one of your councillors this evening. Then we had Judith Grawley, MP, and she's basically talking about schools. Mary Ann Thompson was writing to us in regards to the 15 hours per week of quality kindergarten. That's been extended by 12 months, if that's correct. Gail Teeny was along the same lines. Jacinta Allen was responding to a letter we wrote in regards to parking at Caroline Spring Station. They passed on our letter to the Public Transport Victoria to investigate with the operators of E-Line. Apparently there's 350 car spots, and I believe at the moment it's coping okay. We may have a difference of opinion on that one. Okay, then Colleen Harlan was just giving me an acknowledgement letter. Mr. Don Nardella was talking about the letter in regards to the intersection of High Street and Coburn's Road, where we're advocating for some traffic lights. Judith Growley again was talking about the provision of primary school provision in the city of Melton, and the commitment the Daniel Andrews Labor government have in this regard. And along the same lines, we have the Honourable James Molino talking about the investment into schools in the city of Melton, and that's the extra money to complete the Taylor's Hill West Secondary College, the $5.4 million to modernise the facility of the Melton Specialist School, $12 million for the construction of Taylor's Hill West Secondary College, and planning for the Melton West Primary School and Melton Secondary College. So there's funding for those, and also purchasing the land. Did they mention the purchasing the land for Ainsbury? They missed one. Okay, then we've got another letter from James Molina basically saying the same things again. Then we have a letter from Jacinta Allen talking about the Tula Metropolitan Activity Centre and the development of the future transport the train station in that area. Then we have Jacinta Allen again talking about bus route 459 and that services the greater area of Melton and the extension, was it the extension route we asked for? And they've passed that letter on to the Department of Transport of Victoria. If anybody else wants any further detail, I would say please don't hesitate in coming forward.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second the motion. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. The girls are doing all the heavy lifting here, boys.
So far, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any council seek further clarification? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Petitions and joint letters.
Yeah.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. With great privilege tonight, I recognise Mr. Jeff Tweedy in our audience there, Madam Mayor. Jeff is the convener and chair of the Silverdale Estate, which is the community which is on the freeway, left-hand side, over adjacent to Woodgrove, that is requiring a noise attenuation fence to be constructed and resolve the noise issues in that area, which at this point in time doesn't. The community has met on numerous occasions and have been in contact with Mr. Bob Baggio from our office, who's kindly assisted, and there's been a very much a wealth of knowledge to help the community. And this community has gone out and said, we, the undersigned citizens of the Melton City Silverdale Estate, support the Melton City Council call for the Victorian State Government and the Minister for Roads and Road Safety to have the following issues resolved urgently. One, a noise attenuation fence of suitable quality and design to allow natural light That's under the Vic Roads traffic noise policy, into the residence located on the Western Highway boundary that is not afforded separation or setback for amenity that is available to other residences and dwellings located on the freeway within Melbourne City and other municipalities throughout Melbourne boundary, including Geelong. The second one is the design and installation of a pedestrian walkway located between Coburn Road and Bulmond Road, Melton, for the express purposes of facilitating pedestrian traffic access across the Western Highway. School children currently access across the freeway to meet friends and visit the shopping centre, which is located for youth to catch up. There has been serious incidents and notifications of children doing this. The petition calls upon carry out a needs analysis assessment, which would highlight the needs for urgent attention, as these two issues directly impact upon the health, welfare and safety of our community. There's numerous people have signed this off, Madam Mayor.
Do we know roughly how many, Councillor Harney?
Somewhere in the vicinity of probably 200, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
And they're right, living within the Silverdale estate. So I commend this petition to you simply on the merit that everywhere else in Melton and Caroline Springs has noise attenuation when there is traffic noise, except for this estate.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Fantastic. Thank you. Are there any more petitions or joint letters? Okay, resumption of debate or other business?
There is no held over business, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Public question time, and I'll get our Chief Executive, Mr. Calvin Torrey, to read the questions.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have six questions from members of the public for this evening's meeting. The first of those questions is from Robert Nielsen. Mr. Nielsen is in the gallery. His first question reads, can you please advise who is responsible for the graffiti cleanup on the freeway sound panels? Is it the developers of the land adjoining, council or Vic Roads? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thanks, Bob, for your question. In short, the responsibility for maintaining the panels is Vic Roads. However, we have, as recently as last week, reached agreement with Vic Roads to allow council staff to remove graffiti from some Vic Roads assets. So, for example, the green boxes located near traffic lights, council will now be able to remove graffiti from those at council's cost, at no cost to Vic Roads. We are working with Vic Roads in terms of gaining limited access to some of the sound walls on particularly the Western Highway. You'll obviously be aware that there's issues about safety that we need to carefully manage. For example, there's a significant amount of graffiti on some of the overpasses, and council staff will certainly not be seeking to address that. Again, that would be the responsibility for Vic Roads. Council is acutely aware that the sound walls are an important gateway to the municipality, and having graffiti on them is certainly not a good look, so we'll be continuing to work with Vic Roads to try and have that graffiti removed as quickly as possible. Thank you.
The second question from Mr. Nielsen is, when an item is to be advertised for public review or participation, what media is used, i.e. paper, web or other? And Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services, will respond.
Thanks for your question, Mr. Nielsen. I'll answer the question in sort of two parts. The first being just to clarify where Council's legislation, or key part of legislation in the Local Government Act, prescribes where there's certain mandatory requirements to advertise certain elements for public exhibition, and they're typically things like the draft budget going out on exhibition, the four-year council plan. There's certain elements in regard to the employment of the Chief Executive Officer and some planning matters that must be specifically advertised in either locally circulating newspapers or printed media. But in addition to that, because that's a minimum requirement, Council also uses a number of different strategies and techniques to engage with the public, and that's largely dependent upon our objectives and indeed in many instances where we think public feedback will drive better outcomes and as such where the act is actually silent. But like many councils, we use a framework developed by the International Association of Public Participation, which is more commonly known as IAP2. The IAP2 framework asks council to select a community engagement objective, which is largely to inform, consult, involve, collaborate, or empower. Obviously, as the level of engagement we seek with the public varies, so will the techniques that we choose to use. Council, in adopting this kind of methodology, uses things such as face-to-face meetings, public forums, online feedback, social media accounts, council meetings, community events, direct mail or even direct email notifications, surveys, inserts within rate notices, and so the list goes on and on and on. Fundamentally, council is committed to public participation in decision-making and invests considerable resources in ensuring our local community is given every opportunity to help us make good decisions in the best interests of every member of our community. I hope this answers your question, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from David O'Connor, and Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery.
Welcome back, Mr. O'Connor.
The question reads, it's understood that the Welcome Road interim closure left in and out, is currently programmed for construction in the 2017-18 financial year. At present, the local 483 bus service from Sunbury to Moonee Ponds requires permanent thoroughfare via this intersection. Would Council please provide information regarding the proposed bus route following the completion of the road closure? So Mr. Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. As you'll be aware, around about 2 years ago, Council undertook a local area traffic management study for the whole of Diggers Rest, seeking to address any known traffic management issues. And one of the key obvious issues really is the intersection of Welcome Road. And as you correctly point out in your question, Council committed to undertaking a left-hand-in, left-hand-out alteration at that location. We are shortly to commence consultation with Public Transport Victoria regarding the bus route. We're well aware that an important bus route runs through that location, and we won't be making any changes until such time as we can reach agreement with PTV as to where the bus route would go. I can assure you that Council is acutely aware of the need for the bus route to be in close proximity to residents in that location. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Next question is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, recently a direct mail campaign was delivered to residents in Diggers Rest regarding the current Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve Master Plan review. The notice, see attached, and kindly Mr. O'Connor has attached a copy of the notice, provides examples of what people want, however does not provide any details about its origin. There seems to be some confusion amongst residents with respect to the master plan review and its objectives. Would Council please provide a breakdown of services which could be incorporated and sustained within the current and future recreational reserve framework? So Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, will respond.
Thanks, David, again for your question. It is somewhat confusing when you get that presented to us this afternoon, but I can assure you that is not a communications document from this council. We have, saying that, got a consultation process out at the moment for the Diggers Rest Master Plan Review, and that's a consultation process on our website that is looking for feedback from community members about what that reserve could or should deliver in the future. That closes on the 2nd of June 2017, but at the same time, good or bad, I can assure you from officers if this has gauged some interest, not that I support what's on the document, because it talks about aquatic centres and a whole heap of issues at Diggers Rest, and our council has an aquatic strategy as one example. So I take on board the notice that's in the, and confusing the residents of Diggers Rest, and we'll continue to engage appropriately with those residents.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Mr. O'Connor, I think, wants to follow up.
Clarification only.
Yep. So the swimming centre, that is one of many things identified on this flyer, or notice, which we don't know where it come from, by the way. It talks about netball, indoor stadiums, swimming centres, gyms, rock climbing facilities, squash, badminton, dancing, walking trails and a whole heap of other facilities. A swimming centre is not on a list of deliverables from the council anyway at Diggers Rest. As you know, there's an indoor aquatic strategy that gives a direction for that. The recreational pursuits, if you like, from our leisure team will look at occupation of the two main ovals and what is situated there to assist with that future delivery in far as new facilities, existing facilities or whatever. It will also look at the access and other equipment that may go in that reserve. So it's interesting to note what is on this flyer, but a lot of it may not be on council's radar.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. The next question is from Jason Ryan.
Jason,
Mr. Ryan is present in the gallery. So his first question reads, could Melbourne City Council please investigate the possibility of building a shared path along the Werribee River, heading south to Werribee from the reserve at the intersection of Exford and Greggs Road, Exford. This could also be a joint venture with Wyndham Council and the Victorian Government. Mr. Lord Shannon will respond.
Thanks, Jason, for your question. In summary, yes, we are happy to look at the opportunities to do that. By way of background, Council actually adopted a strategy for a walking trail to connect the Melton Township to Werribee a number of years ago, and that designates the opportunity primarily along the Werribee River to connect the two townships, or the two cities, really. The first section of that footpath has actually been constructed at the southern edge of the Melton Township along the Toolan Creek, down to Greggs Road. You'll be well aware of that through the proposed Toolan Regional Park. The section that you're specifically referring to, that clearly doesn't have a path at the moment, and there's some complexities there in terms of different land ownerships and the terrain associated with that. But Council's strategy, and I'm happy to provide you a copy of that strategy or a link to it, sets out how that might happen and the indicative costings. Clearly there's a lot of work required in terms of gaining access to properties and having the funding to undertake those works, but it is certainly something that we'll be seeking to progress with some of the agencies involved, including Western Water, who own a significant parcel of land directly south of Greggs Road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Next question, also from Mr. Ryan, reads, could the council please investigate the possibility of using land on the corner of Rushworth Avenue and St Arnold Road, which is Melton City Council land, for a skate park for the youth of Ainsbury? There is nowhere for teens or pre-teens in Ainsbury to play safely. Again, Murray Heaney, General Manager Community Services, will respond.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan, for your question. Council has endorsed a previous master plan for a future recreational reserve at Ainsbury, which is still not in council ownership and to be developed by the developer. On that master plan, it does show a future facility for such a use. Saying that, that's some time away. The priority for that recreational reserve is active reserves, playing spaces and facilities for the community down there. And I take on note the subject land that you raise, and we'll see if that is actually in council-owned, or it is a council-owned asset, and we'll get back to you accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney, and thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
We'll move on to a presentation of staff reports.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block items 12.1, 12.6, 12.12 and 12.13 and accept officers' recommendation as per reports.
Thank you, Councillor Madeley. We have a motion before us, moved by Councillor Madeley. Gives us,
yes,
Councillor
Madam Mayor, I wish to second that motion.
Thank you. Okay. Does any Councillor seek further clarification on the motion before us?
Madam Mayor, no clarification. I just want to know if we could also add item 12.3 into the block as well.
12.3. Okay. Councillor Madelick, are you comfortable with having 12.3 added?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy, are you comfortable with having...
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. That's fine. Okay. If there's no further clarification, all those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to 12.2, Advisory Committees of Council Aggregate Meeting Minutes. Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As councillors are aware, we had a number of advisory committees, and council's procedures require those committees to provide reports and recommendations to council for consideration. Attached to this report, item 12.2 this evening, there are minutes from the Leisure Advisory Committee, the Heritage Advisory Committee, the Early Years Partnership Committee, and the Community Learning Board. Each of those contain recommendations and recommended actions, and the recommendation is that council note the minutes of advisory committee meetings as detailed at Appendix 1 through 4 inclusive, and 2, adopt the recommendations and endorse the actions arising within those minutes. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Does any council seek further clarification? Councillor Mayne.
Madam Mayor, I've got a couple of questions. The first one being on page 46 of the Community Learning Board. Under 5.3, it talks about the 20th anniversary of the Community Board is next year, 2018, and S. Edwards proposed the board launches a digital history project showcasing the projects to date, etc., recognition of board members. Is there a cost to this?
At this stage, that's part of the research work that's being undertaken as to how much data we have on hand to do in-house and whether there's any external support required. If there is, the matter will go back via the committee to council for endorsement.
Further clarification on page 47, Madam Mayor, the 6.5 UNESCO updates. Under A, 2017 Learning City Awards, there is an awards ceremony taking place in the third International Conference of the Learning Cities in Ireland on the 18th and 20th of September 2017. Are we planning on sending anyone from council to attend?
At this stage, I am contemplating whether or not the learning officer attends, and we're working that through with the management unit. So that's
what a shame. I'd love to go, Councillor Madeley.
If council wish to resolve to send any council or representation, then that's within the parameters available to council. However, from an administration point of view, we'll be assessing what the agenda is for that meeting and whether it's beneficial to have our learning officer participate.
And finally, Madam Mayor, on page 36, under Heritage Advisory Committee from item 4, Business Arising, on the first dot point, the last sentence, it's talking about Woodgrove Shopping Centre display during Woodgrove's extension, and I believe yourself and myself and other fellow councillors from last term joined us where it had like a heritage kind of panel. It's stating that it was agreed if nothing is heard from Woodgrove in the next 2 months, this action will be closed. So obviously we've tried to contact them to see if we can take ownership or whatever the Heritage Advisory Committee. I was just wondering, Madam Mayor, and I don't know if I need to do this through a notice of motion, that the Mayor and or CEO make contact with QIC in an endeavour to progress the matter. I was just thinking maybe if the Mayor and the CEO could probably put some pressure on them, perhaps they'll...
We can take that as a motion. If you'd
or as a part of the recommendation, or...
Yeah.
If so, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move with that alteration.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Carling?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay, the motion before us is that the Mayor and the CEO write...
It's the recommendation plus
third point.
Third dot point. So the motion will read as written, with the recommendation with the third dot point that the Mayor and CEO make contact with Woodgrove in an endeavour to obtain the panel. Yep.
To progress the matter, yes. Okay. Councillors, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor seek further clarification? All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried. Thank you. We will now move on to 12.4. Just whilst I ask, to the members of the gallery, you'll see a couple of our GMs and managers with laptops and some of the councillors with laptops. Can I ask the councillors how they're trialling laptops on the agenda? How are you going there, Mr. Hardy, or Councillor Hardy?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I spent most of the afternoon working with council officers, but we did have difficulties with the connection with Telstra, and a couple of other little nuanced issues. But yeah, look.
Are you flustered yet? Are you flustered yet?
Yeah, I'm comfortable.
You're going well?
Well, I'm going well. I think that, right, a couple of little nuanced issues that if we can raise the font issue to 14, mm-hmm. will resolve a lot of issues, and it can sit where it likes, and we can read straight off it.
There you go. Councillor Bushy, how are you going?
Good, although I haven't used it to speak yet, but just a request, if we could, through your permission, if we can use the laptop when we're reading while sitting down, because I note that the laptop is very small, and so that we're not disadvantaged. I spent some time over the weekend using it to its full capacity, writing notes.
That's fine, as long as you don't yell at me if I don't see your hand go up and I spot someone else who's standing.
Okay? No worries.
Not a problem.
I'm sure our lovely CEO can help you, identify who's first and who's second in the queue.
No, as the chair, I get to do that, so sorry. Disregard what the CEO has to say at that level. Mr. Shannon and Ms. Denyer, how are we going with the computers? Good?
Yes, it's fantastic, Madam Mayor. No paper.
I wonder whether us as dinosaurs get to do it, whether we think the same. Ms. Denyer?
I'm taking notes as well, and it's so far so good, Madam Mayor.
Fantastic.
Have yet to present my two reports, so we'll see how I go after
that. We will see. Okay, thank you, everybody. I just wanted to see how they were progressing and if they were keeping up. 12.4 on the agenda is the response to Notice of Motion 458 and 469, and our General Manager for Community Services, Mr. Heaney, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll try and describe these Notice of Motions as best I can, and the officers have had a go at combining the two Notice of Motions into one report because they are somewhat similar. And these were one was tabled on the 6th of March, which was Notice of Motion 458, and another one again the month after, the 3rd of April, which was Notice of Motion 469. And basically on 458, the recommendation was that officers prepare a report in relation to resourcing a youth outreach team for council's public events, where it is likely to attract a large number of young people. The report should include specific consideration of the team being made up of workers, community leaders, who are representatives of the cultural cross-section of our community. So that's 458, councillors. I'll just read out what 469 was, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
The councillors provide a report to assess the needs for increased youth outreach support services, targeting identified locations and times of day where young people congregate in public spaces. The report to make recommendations about how council may achieve an improved outcome for young people at risk of disengagement. So I'll just work the council through this one at a time, if that's okay, Madam Mayor. So 458, as we've talked about, we do have a structure in place with our youth services team. We resource that structure to the tune of around about $1.8 million in staff time. Some of that is offset by federal government funding, but it's fair to say to the council, not a lot. And it's fair to say that this council and previous councils have always been very supportive in supporting young people in our municipality, and no doubt will continue to do that. Part of that service is a program which is titled 6801 and supports young people between the ages of 12 to 25 who live, work, study or recreate in our city. That team provides outreach support, case management and referrals for young people if required. That staff team has currently two full-time, what we call EFT, and is also supported by a number of casuals in that service unit. It should note that the outreach team are available for council major events, noting the intent of the notice of motions to engage, I think, effectively a lot more with the core community and the newly established, or to be established, African Working Group. Determine the best way to seek representatives from our leaders to work with that youth services team for the benefit of improved community engagement and, of course, outcomes for young people. In providing some of these services at the events, Council's youth services team is heavily engaged, of course, and must be, with our local police, protective services officers, of course, at stations, our school partners, and there are many, and external support agencies that support our young people. To give you some examples of some other initiatives that we're working on, it's the subject of a report later on in this agenda, we've also been active in applying for grants over and above our normal resource team. And to note on page 79, there's a few, but I think it's important to note the work that officers are doing over and above our normal duties, I think, and the staff resources, to get the best outcome for young people. So the Vic Health Local Government Arts Grant is a subject that, as I said earlier, later on in the agenda, we've been successful, and this will assist Sudanese young people through lead music and dance-based workshops in a local school setting. Incorporating peer mentoring, bringing together Sudanese and non-Sudanese students, so that's been successful. We are active in what's called a Department of Justice grant, in excess of $200,000, and awaiting an outcome, and hopefully we'll get some good news shortly, we hope. The grant will respond to community concerns about the perceived escalation of crime and disengagement of young people in our city, and this will be partnering with our local police. The Building Better Regions Fund is another submission we have in for about $100,000, and the project will build leadership capacity and connectedness of up to 25 young people from local African community at risk of isolation and associated challenging behaviours. So that's a snapshot, I think, of 458. If I can move now, councillors, into 469. Sorry, the outreach services, 6801. Currently, so it's the services we currently provide, provides outreach on Tuesdays from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m, which is really supporting our library services team to engage with young people that are attending that library, and obviously to refer on and get them into other programs within our council, not just the youth space. On Thursdays from 3 to 7 p.m, the outreach team accesses Woodgrove Shopping Centre and soon Caroline Springs Square Shopping Centre in partnership with local police and community groups. And on Friday from 6 p.m. to 11, these are the 6801 team's outreach at service locations, really trying to target what are hotspots in the community at the moment, and there are many. And that's usually in consultation with the police or our service providers, or most importantly, our young people. So that's from 6 to 11. The balance of the time from the 6801 team is used on spend engaging with schools, as I indicated earlier in this report, case management of at-risk young people that are identified by the team or referred to the team by schools, police or external agencies. So saying this, councillors, in reviewing these times and having a balance, officers will include operational hours of the outreach team, titled 6801, to include Saturday evening specifically around the hotspots within the municipality, as stated earlier in the report, but most importantly in consultation with our Victoria Police and supporting agencies. This will be most likely, and to be determined, but probably around 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. At the same time, officers work on how staff will be more visible in the community members, and most importantly to those young people when active. So, Council, I'll just go back to page 78, and the recommendations are that Council note the report and the comments related to Notice of Motion 458 and continue to liaise with our called committees and, of course, the African Communities Working Group, once established, to enhance these services and communication overall for young people. And two, that officers review the current program hours and allocate with the existing resources additional outreach services as described earlier on Saturday evenings, while continuing to strengthen our relationships with our local agencies, our health providers, and the best way forward to provide services to our young people. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I've got a question. Are these typical council services that other councils do as well, or is this going above and beyond what normally a local council actually does?
I think as a benchmark, Councillor Major, this council goes over and above what the normal services are. In most cases, there's outreach services or supporting services that are run by external agencies. That is still the case in this municipality, but many years ago, this council funded the 6801 program to be out there and be more active.
Thank you.
Follow-up question, Madam Mayor. In regards to some of the vulnerable youth that is seen through our youth services department and the 6801, does the staff then refer them to other services, or do they connect them with anybody else when they see somebody that's vulnerable?
Yeah, absolutely, Councillor Mazlik. So the idea of 6801 is they refer on if needed, or have discussions with our local police, and we have other support services in our youth facility at Melton at the moment, and soon to be additional support services in the new Melton Health Community Services. So the answer is yes, we refer on.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you. Any further clarification sought? Is there a move for the recommendation?
I'd like to move, thanks, Madam Mayor, and speak to it at the next available opportunity.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Now, did you need to sit down to be able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. The motion's been moved by Councillor Bushy. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you and welcome, Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. All those in favour of the... Does anyone oppose the motion? No. Does anyone wish to speak to... Oh, sorry, I'm getting back to normal again. Sorry, I've gone straight to the earlier phase. Does anyone wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. It's very short. I'd just like to thank the Youth Department, especially Murray, who has had to put up with me contacting him and coming to see him in his office. I just wanted to make sure that the report accurately addressed the notice of motion, but more specifically around the outreach teams being more visible in the community. I think it's really important that the community sees the people within our, the employees within our youth department and outreach team just being able to be identified in the community, and the increase in services such as having them on a Saturday is a fantastic win for our community, and I'd just like to commend Maury Heaney and the Youth Department for a fantastic report. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Would any other councillor like to address the chamber? Okay, the motion has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now move on to the Council Annual Action Plan Third Quarter Progress Report. This report's to be brought to us by General Manager for Corporate Services, Mr. Peterbank.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. 12.5 response to Notice of Motion 465 live streaming.
I did. Sorry. Sorry, Ms. Denyas. Apologise. Okay. Oh, I just didn't, obviously, because... 12.5 is the response to Notice of Motion 465, live streaming of council meetings. Manager for Legal and Governance, Ms. Christine Denyer, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As you just said, the purpose of this report is to respond to the notice of motion number 465 in relation to live streaming of council meetings. At the ordinary meeting held on the 6th of March, Council resolved to receive a report investigating the funding and installation of CCTV cameras in the Council chamber for use during ordinary meetings for security and live streaming of meetings to residents. Officers have undertaken a desktop review of the 79 councils, or the other 78, if you like, across Victoria to determine if and how they live stream their meetings. And this report provides Council with the results of the review and some further information as to the estimated costings associated with the various forms of live streaming. The report will focus on live streaming, noting that the resolution did also refer to security, noting that if a meeting is live streamed, that any footage could be provided to the police if that was necessary.
How's that computer going?
Just pausing briefly, Madam Mayor.
I'm right up there with the paper.
It's the first time it is a learning curve. So Council currently records its ordinary meetings via written minutes and via an audio recording which is uploaded to the website one business day after the meeting. The streaming of visual recording will allow the viewer to see the discussion in its entirety and including body language. Streaming of the meeting live will also enable the public to view the meeting in real time from any remote location where internet access is available. Live streaming of meetings is also an avenue to potentially increase public participation in council meetings. And this fact was noted by the Victorian Ombudsman in her report in December of 2016. Where she said, amongst other things, that live streaming of meetings is one of a number of factors that impact upon accessibility and transparency of decision making in open meetings. At the time of the Ombudsman's report, 10 of the 79 councils were live streaming. And at the time of our desktop review, just recently, 13 were live streaming. So it does seem that more and more councils are live streaming. Public, I'll just move now to risks. Public council meetings are an open forum of questions, statements and answers, very much like state and federal parliament. But whereas parliamentary privilege exists in state and federal government to protect members of parliament in relation to actions against them, such as, for example, in relation to defamation, no such protection exists in relation to individual councillors. So the live streaming of meetings might be said to increase the exposure of individual councillors in as much as the audience size is increased. But the risk is already there without the live streaming. Insofar as council is concerned, council may be liable to legal action if it publishes legally questionable content. And publishing comes into play, of course, if you are posting the recording of the live streaming up later to council's website. In order to mitigate against those risks, a robust policy and procedure is the best way to do it. There's 4 points there set out as to what a policy and procedure might include. For example, it would ensure that all parties, including the public gallery, were aware that the proceedings were being filmed, and there'd be a statement to advise that council does not intend to publish legally questionable material and would use its best endeavours to remove it. So So there are three broad options for live streaming as set out in the report. These are, number one, a self-managed solution externally hosted using either Interstream or AppStream. Number two, a self-managed in-house solution using YouTube, either directly or via Facebook. And number three, a fully outsourced solution using an audiovisual production company such as the one Council used to ensure the amplification and recording of the meeting at Taylor's Hill recently. So a person who would essentially come in and film it.
Mm-hmm.
Each option has its advantages and disadvantages, and each option has differing costs. The report is very comprehensive and I don't propose to go through it in complete detail. To summarise, option one and two require upfront costs of installing cameras, whereas option three obviously does not. A person just turns up and records the meeting. All of the options have ongoing costs. Option three, in as much as it doesn't have installation costs, is therefore the cheaper option in the shorter term. However, over the longer term, option three becomes more costly. The cheapest of the three over the longer term is option two, the in-house managed solution using YouTube. Option one and three sees the external provider being able to edit the content before it is uploaded, whereas option two requires a council officer to do that. If that were ever required, I note that in my time here I haven't heard statements made in the chamber that would warrant removal.
We haven't had this item on the agenda before, sorry.
I had somebody non-Collingwood supporters in
the... Sorry, I was being cheeky.
Other relevant considerations to a decision in relation to live streaming at this time are three. Firstly, that there is currently only one facility which is a purpose-built council meeting facility, being the facility that we're currently in. The Burnside Children's and Community Centre will have a duplicate council meeting facility, however, the build for that has not yet commenced. Secondly, that council is currently, as I'm acutely aware, trialling an electronic agenda. And three, that there is a motion on tonight's agenda to be considered that a review of the meeting procedure local law take place. I bring these things to your attention because in as much as we have only one council facility, we would be limited in the options we could use or limited in where we could hold the meeting. In other words, we could install cameras here, but we couldn't really install them in Taylor's Hill facilities. It's not a purpose-built council facility. And it's my own view that the electronic meeting agenda and, should council decide, any change to the meeting procedure local law, that those things, you might consider that they be embedded first before we are streaming these things live to the people. So, with that said, my recommendation is, as set out in the report, that council approve in principle live streaming of ordinary meetings to council with implementation to occur when the Burnside Children's and Community Centre duplicate council meeting facility is operational, and two, that council conduct such live streaming via a dedicated YouTube channel as its streaming platform, so that's option two. And three, that council develop a detailed policy and procedure on live streaming of council meetings. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Very well done. Okay, councillors, does any councillor seek further clarification? Councillor Madeley.
I do, Madam Mayor. On page 88, it talks about the risk analysis about Parliament, that we don't have parliamentarian privileges, etc. However, would that be the same risk as uploading or audio recording our current meeting? So are we not exposed to the same risk that is outlined in the risk analysis because we record our meetings anyway?
Audio?
Through you, Madam Mayor, we don't do the audio live, so we would have a chance to edit it. If the meeting is live streamed, whoever's hearing it live, so it increases the audience size at the time. We can remove it to post it later. But the live streaming, it'll be in real time.
Just to follow up,
Madam Mayor, have we ever edited an audio recording of this council?
Through you, Madam Mayor, certainly not in my time, not that I'm aware of. Others who have been here longer than me could perhaps take the question.
Not in my time, and I've been here 15 years nearly, so, yep.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Any further clarification sought?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much. Council's saying that, right, that it's appropriate to do live screening here, but inappropriate in other venues. Is that how it works?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if I understand the question, the report sets out there's an installation cost of around $16,000. So you could install that here, obviously, but that would limit you then to having the live streaming here in this council chamber.
Thank you. Any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor DeSantis, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a seconder for the motion before us?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carney, thank you. Does any councillor oppose the motion? The motion is opposed, so we'll go into debate. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
If you want to remain seated.
Oh, beautiful, thank
you. Your notes are on your laptop.
It's a learning curve, thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to just speak on this if I can. The idea for me in moving the motion initially was we already had a podcast so that everyone can be heard. A lot of other councils have visuals so that you can actually see what's going on. I believe that if it's actually televised or at least visually accessible to the residents, that a lot more people will tune in and see what's going on in their community. And also, for security purposes, I think it's wonderful, and also transparency for the residents to be able to see what's actually going on rather than just hearing. Because for me, if you're going to pay for a podcast, I'm not sure how much that is.
Nothing.
The podcast was free to set up? Yeah. Oh, okay. So it was free. So,
yeah, it's free now.
Okay, other councils are using sound and visual, and I'd like to see us use visual because I think it's really, really important for the residents to be able to see for transparency purposes, and it's a way to move forward with new technology. Why can't we access that?
Thank you. Councillor Hardy, would you like to start?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Right, there's a couple of things that... that need to be brought to the fore. One is we're going through technological change here with our computers and such. These trial periods are very, very stressful. To actually add other facility there, first and foremost, while we're doing a trial period, can be unproductive. Second points that need to be looked at is that, right, on the odd occasion, there may be something that gets said. If it's a live streaming, we're up for it because we can't change the record. And I note here also, Madam Mayor, that if we were to try out an audio capacity, and that means to say that we go to looking at audio recording, that we do it for a trial period for 6 months and make it available for listening and also written requests by any person.
Councillor Hardy, there's already an recording that's made available to the community via the web page.
Yes, I understand that, Mayor, but I'm just putting that forward as being the predominant position that we look at. We go through a process of ensuring that the community does have access to recorded minutes, and then we assess the options there of the community. How many of the community are going to do or come online for live streaming at a cost to the council and the community? It's premised on really the cost. And if we're moving it out of the council chambers here to other venues around the community, the added cost and security goes with it. So there is a lot of things that need to be detailed before we can adopt this position, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, firstly, can I say that I'm really surprised that some of my fellow councillors have actually opposed this. And when Councillor Hardy talks about technology updates and that's stressful, I don't see anything stressful with the residents that have elected you to sit in that chair and make decisions for them, see how you act in the chambers and deal with certain situations. But can I just draw your attention, Madam Mayor, to page 82 where it says streaming. The visual recording will allow the viewer to see the discussion in its entirety, including body language. I think that that's really important for our residents to see, our members of our community to see how their elected representatives behave and respond in certain situations when they're in these chambers representing them. Then when it says streaming the meeting live will enable the public to view the meeting in real time from any remote location where internet access is available. This is excellent, Madam Mayor, because we all know that some residents can't get here, whether it be at this location or whether it be at the future Burnside site. It is just hard with the 7 o'clock start time. Then I read a bit further down and it says, in its report, Investigation into the Transparency of Local Government Decision-Making, December 2016, the Victorian Ombudsman said, amongst other things, that live streaming of meetings is one of the number of factors that impact upon accessibility and transparency of decision-making in open meetings, page 20. Madam Mayor, when I look at this also, and can I just say thank you for the report, because I can see that there's a lot of detail that's gone into it and a lot of information's been sought, but I can see that Greater Dandenong City Council has been doing this since 2003, so obviously they see a benefit in it from doing it back to 2003. I think that this is a way forward, Madam Mayor, and I fully support this.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Any councillor wish to speak against the recommendation? Councillor Turner, you can remain seated because
I'm happy to stand on that. No big deal. My main point is, if you look at the figures for all the councils that are streaming, basically the majority of people who access the archive, they don't access live, and I just think it's a lot of money to spend initially. I'd like to see a bit more people how the video and that would work, because I believe you need many, many cameras, not just one camera, if you're going to be getting a picture of everybody as things are playing. So I don't think it's sound. I'd like to see it in action, so maybe I'll have a look at some of these other ones and see how they work out. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. For the motion? For yes. The motion? Councillor Bushy. If you've got notes on your screen, you're more than...
I know, that's okay, I haven't got notes, I'm happy to stand. Well, I do, I've just quickly written them down. Madam Mayor, I absolutely love this idea of live streaming these meetings. I think that I'm 33 years of age, and I think we need to do more as a community, as a council, to reach our community. I see all other forms of government playing visually whatever happens in the House. I think there's no difference between us because we're still representing constituents. And I just don't understand if we're already recording and that recording isn't changed or edited based on Mr. Tory's 15 years in council and everyone else's experience in council. If they've never been changed, what's the difference if adding visual to that, if it's only the cost? I think it's well worth it. I think the argument around privilege and all that sort of stuff really doesn't fly, because the fact that we don't edit our recordings, so people are hearing everything we say anyway. We're just adding visual to it. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any other councillor wish to enter the discussion?
Yes,
against?
Oh, not against.
Would anyone like to speak against it?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Okay, Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, I'm totally against the Big Brother, and besides, it costs quite a lot. I think that we are all legally elected and that we shouldn't be scrutinized at any moment. I don't think there's a reason for it, and that's why I'm against.
Thank you, Councillor Kasich. Councillor Maidlick.
Madam Mayor, I am all for this notice of motion. I hear both sides of it in regards to we're not ready. We need to still do a few more things around the technological changes. It does actually say approve in principle, so we are still going to, by the sounds of it, massage it and get it all ready and up and, you know, see what our exact options and how it's going to look. In regards to the risks, if we are worried as councillors in saying something that could potentially be defamatory, can I just suggest to the councillors, don't say it? I don't think that there is a difference with saying it here, live in the chamber, or in the auditorium, or getting it taped on audio and then basically receiving it or live streaming. I have nothing to hide. I think it's a great open and transparent process. And I believe that as a democratically elected councillor, my constituents have, will and forever scrutinise exactly what I do, and that's why I put my hand up as a councillor. Sometimes that's probably necessary, and I take that, I cop it on the chin. However, if you don't want to be scrutinised, I suggest you don't put your hand up as a councillor. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Councillor Mendes, would you like to address the context of this?
Yes, through you, Madam Mayor. My main concern is that the other building down in the Eastern Corridor isn't up and running yet, and I'd like to see that up and running and ready to, before we actually put anything into place. So I think if we're going to do it, we're going to do it in both buildings at the same time. And I don't think there's any issue in this wanting to be viewed by the public. I think it's a fact for me, the cost factor at the moment of installing it when we don't have a building in the Eastern Corridor.
As the members are just silent, I'd like to enter the debate at this point, and as every councillor has spoken, I believe reading the report, and thank you, Ms. Denyer, for a comprehensive report. The Ombudsman was saying that it's an arm, or it reports to Parliament, and in a cost rate cutting time, where they limit us to 2%, adding another $78,000 to our budget, I think is just lunacy at this point. Thank you, Councillor Carley. Let's flog a dead horse, shall we? Thank you. Community members were acknowledged at that time. $78,000, so you can look good on camera. I mean, I'm going to gain 10 kilos. I don't particularly want to gain 10 kilos in camera. The community will scrutinise us. They will follow us all the way through. Body language. Sorry, Councillor Carley, did I interrupt you at all? Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I've got a limited time to speak as well, and I didn't interrupt you, so please give me the courtesy and respect. I'm sorry that I don't agree with you, Councillor Carley. That's a fact of life. When our community scrutinise our every motion, they don't need to see our body language. They can hear it in the inflection of our voice on recording. We don't need to spend this money, and to look at the numbers, 13 out of 79 councils do it, even after the Ombudsman's report. So, and if I look at the numbers, I think, well, hey, hang on, most of them aren't getting it. They're getting it for archive, and if there's something exceptionally important that the community want to see, they will come back and get the recording of that. So at the end of the day, we've got a voice recording. We've been doing it for a long time. We're far in advance of most councils, and I say we're open, we're transparent, and we're being scrutinised each and every day by our own councillors, as you can see. So at the end of the day, I want to make sure that ratepayers' money is spent responsibly. And yes, to recognise 107 wonderful ladies at a high tea, I'll do it again tomorrow. Thank you, councillors.
the discussion. Councillor DeSantis, would you like to close?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's just a couple more points I'd like to bring up also. Moreland Council, from what I'm aware, use this as an advertising tool where they can advertise for upcoming events, which I think would be really, really beneficial to our awesome event staff and things that Mountain City Council do that some people aren't aware of. Also, people with disabilities and the elderly, they might not be able to get to 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock meetings. It might be too cold, wheelchair access, whatever it may be. So for me, visually, they can actually see what's going on. I think it's really important for transparency purposes. Body language is a really big thing. I can say something and I can be doing something completely different. I could be walking around the chamber. I could, you know, do a lot of things that people can't see. And I think visually, residents need to be aware of that. So for me, it's really important that we're very, very transparent to our residents to make sure that they feel a part of it. And also they can actually watch, hear, see what's going on, actually feel like they're a part of it, whether they can get here or not. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Okay, the mover of this recommendation is Councillor... The motion's been moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? I'd like to call a division.
Thank you. Thank you.
All those in favour of the motion? Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Bushy and Councillor Maidlick. All those against the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kissich. The motion's lost. Okay. Now we'll go back to the one I went to earlier. The Council Annual Action Plan, Third Quarter Progress Report, to be brought to us by General Manager for Corporate Services, Mr. Peter Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening, as has been stated, the Council Annual Action Plan, Third Quarter Progress Report. Each year, Council produces an annual action plan identifying the activities and initiatives the Council will work towards achieving, which respond to the strategic outcomes and strategies identified in the Council plan. This is aligned within Council's annual budget development process. The 2016-17 annual action plan provides 149 actions the Council is committed to deliver. Council provides the community with quarterly progress reports that supports Council's commitment in providing transparency through public access to relevant information, decision-making and strategic documents. The progressive achievement of the annual action plan is reported at the conclusion of each quarter of the financial year, with a final summary provided at the conclusion of each financial year through the production of Council's annual report. Appendix 1 is attached to this report, provides a detailed summary on the status of each action in the 2016-17 annual action plan, inclusive of the period from 1 July 2016 to 31 March 2017. Key achievements for this particular quarter include the delivery of the 2017-18 budget engagement sessions in February 2017. Council endorsed the 20-year community vision, Melton City 2036, the city we imagine, on 3 April 2017. Completed the redevelopment of the Age Precinct, including an extension on the east side to Smith Street, and launched the 1,000 Books Before School program in partnership with State Library Victoria on 15 February 2017. Set out on page 106 of the agenda this evening, Madam Mayor, is a table which breaks down the current status of the 149 actions. I just do note that there are 13 actions set out that are not on track. 12 of those 13 actions are indeed commenced and are in some state of progress. It's just that they have not developed to the point where the staff had anticipated they would be as at the end of the third quarter. And there's one action that has not been commenced and it is not intending to, as it has been revised and reviewed and it has been incorporated into Council's open space strategy. With this information presented to you this evening, Madam Mayor, I present the recommendation to Council as set out on page 105 that states the Council receive and note the 2016-17 Annual Action Plan Third Quarter Progress Report, open brackets 1 January to 31 March 2017, close bracket, as presented at Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. On page 117, item number 44. It talks about the Risk Management Committee and the report about the Risk Management Committee and the strategy. Could I just find out if delaying this, I know it's only a month or so, but delaying because it's due on the 30th of June 17, so next month, what are the ramifications, if any, in delaying this actual strategy for an extra month? I know it might not be significant, but I just want to double check.
Through Madam Mayor, Council Magic in addressing it, it's just that the implementation of the new risk management software, which is a cornerstone for the strategy, just was rolled out and delayed slightly, and there's expected to be no impact or adverse situation in regards to the delivery of it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Any further clarification sought? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move this, Madam Mayor, and commend the officers in regards to the many actions that are on track and those that are soon to follow.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Seconded by Councillor Carr.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to second that and just echo my fellow councillors' comments in regards to the agenda item.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? The motion is carried. Thank you. Okay, the Community Grants Program review to be brought to us by our General Manager for Community Services, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Community Grants was last reviewed in 2012. As a result, it was timely to examine the current program to determine where improvements could be made to increase access for those groups or clubs and the effectiveness in achieving Council's objectives and outcomes for, of course, the community. The reviewers identified that through the grants program, we administered an average of $350,000 per annum through an average of about 132 grants every year. It's a significant amount, as you're aware, and it helps to build capacity within the community and, of course, to deliver outcomes and projects. And that's inclusive of events, etc., and that's right across the city. We do have venue partners, if you like, when it comes to our grant scheme, and that is Harness Racing Victoria and the club Caroline Springs, which is Collingwood. These agreements have been in place for many years. The review of the program was specifically to address certain areas as a priority noted on page 137, and that was to have a look at the categories and the schedule of the grants, the criteria, and of course the assessment panel composition, opportunities for capacity building and provision, and of course opportunities for feedback, and most importantly improved promotion of successes of those grants. The program categories were reviewed with the intent to strengthen consistency, increase capacity for applicants, and of course group development, and build upon the strengths of current practices. A new grant category titled Entry Level Grants has been proposed to enable groups with demonstrated low capacity or are now to the grant seeking process to access the program support to support smaller projects. This will assist in the development of their capacity as a group and help facilitate their skills to engage with the wider community. Some of the proposed schedules include two semi-annual grants, funding rounds, and a venue partner grant. So most importantly, we're saying there's three grant schemes under that process, and that's with us and our community partners. And also the eligibility has been reviewed as part of the review, and that's talking about the entry level grant capacity. In addition, the eligibility criteria has been added to ensure that groups seeking funding for events over 1,000 are designed to include the broader community and not being exclusive to the membership of the applicant group. So if it's a one-off group, if it's a one-off group submission for an event, it is still eligible up to 1,000, but most importantly, it's up to 2,000. They need to include multiple groups in that round. Schools had previously limited eligible, or were, had some limited eligibility to apply for grants, and this was under the HRV Tabcorp Park and our funding partners grant scheme. But this has been ceased under the aligned eligibility criteria. But most importantly, it should be noted, councillors, that however schools remain eligible as a partner with a community service provider, where the community service provider is the applicant. So there's still that partnership opportunity for schools. Under the proposed changes to the Residential Achievement Grant, individuals will be eligible for a maximum of one grant every 3 years. For residents, previously individuals were eligible for two grants every 5 years. And the assessment panels have been, the proposal is to modify those, and if I can just point you to page 139, and it's proposed that the assessment panels will vary. It is proposed that there would be a councillor from each ward that would represent council, and of course officers, a manager, and of course the community funding officer and community representatives, which we're saying the community representatives would be one per each ward. And that's similar as we go down the gaming venue partnership agreements and the bi-monthly grants assessment panel. But what also officers are suggesting, not to confuse things even more, councillors, that the councillor representatives would be effective as from the next council committee review process later on this year at 2017, so we wouldn't confuse things even further, is the intent from officers. So the recommendations on page 136, Madam Mayor, is that council note the correspondence received from our venue partners, which is appended 2 and 3, and to note the proposed changes, and 2, that the current council representative on the committees remain until the next committee review process later in 2017, and that council endorse the proposed changes to the grants program as per the document in Appendix 1. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any council seek further clarification on this item?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'd like to see a paragraph put in there in regards to the schools to make them aware that there is a community engagement officer to assist them in the partnership program.
And I was just about to ask the same thing, Mr Heaney.
No. Statement, Madam Mayor? Or
it is, can it be included?
Up to council.
Well, I'd like to, that was something that was discussed last week, that if a school group did put their hand up and they couldn't find a community partner, that our community grants officer would help liaise with the school and community groups.
So that's in the documentation, Madam Mayor?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if it requires formalisation, I formalise that we move that the adoption of the officer to seek out those schools that are having difficulties, if they are already out there, to seek a provision for a partner.
Can we have a dot point 4 that said that the grants funding officer will assist any schools that have
that are in need of a partner.
Of a community partner.
So, Madam Mayor, if I may, that the council or the grants officer will engage with schools on the potential of having a community service partner.
As long as that says that they can engage and assist.
Yep.
Assist, because I thought that was going to be in the body of the report, because that's what was verbalised. Are you prepared to move that, Councillor Mendes, seeing you were...
I'm happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
You have a mover for that recommendation. Is there a seconder?
Happy to assist with the seconding of that motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any council seek further clarification?
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor. Can I have... I can see it's already been moved and seconded, but I haven't heard what the wording is for dot point four.
Yes.
The wording as I currently have it recorded is that the motion is items 1, 2 and 3 as printed in the agenda, and additional item 4, which reads that the grants funding officer engage and assist schools to identify appropriate partner organisations.
Just a question, Madam Mayor, in regards to that, does that mean that every school, or does that mean if a school potentially puts in a grant and can't find a community partner?
Well, that's what I believed would be in the body of the report, but failing it being in the body of the report, we've moved it under its fourth dot point.
So it's not engaging in every single school looking for a community partner. It's whichever school is asking for a grant, if they can't find a community partner.
That's exactly right.
Yes, that was my intent.
Okay. So if we add to the end of that, appropriate partner where they are experiencing difficulty
finding one, yeah,
in achieving
the grant, yeah, application.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you happy? Just a question, Madam. Are you happy with those words, Councillor Mendes? Are you happy with those words, Councillor Hardy?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Madeley.
Is there an officer that could advise me whether schools have their own grants that they can actually apply? And I know that not all of them are successful, but do primary and secondary schools have access to grants that are only for schools and not necessarily for partnership with council community residents?
Under another scheme?
As in state government, I would assume...
I wouldn't be 100% correct, but I assume there's grants out there that schools may go for within the department, but I couldn't list what those are, Councillor Mosley.
Okay. Any further clarification on this item? All those in favour of the motion? Oh, the motion's been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Councillor Bushy. Okay, we'll go into debate. We'll firstly start off with Councillor Mendes, Councillor Bush, if she wants to speak.
From experience in writing grants and that's for schools in the past, I understand where Councillor Majelik is coming from in regards to state government supporting schools and that we shouldn't be shifting the costs. However, there are a lot of programs out there that are only basic programs that require a minimal amount of money that in the past the City of Melton have assisted schools in applying for, such as autism programs, programs to do with school breakfasts, gardening programs, and programs that have actually helped children to reach their social potential and emotional development. I think that they were very important grants, and there might have been anything up to between $1,000 to $5,000. Some of those programs are not funded by the state government, and I think that if schools don't have the assistance to get those grants by the City of Melton, they're going to become disadvantaged. I understand, once again, where you're coming from in terms of shifting the costs. However, I passionately believe that the school should have assistance in obtaining grants for programs that some of us in this room as councillors' children have actually benefited from in schools.
Thank you. Councillor Abushi, you obviously want to talk against dot point four?
Yes, and I, Councillor Mendes, spoke on it already, but I just wanted to, and I think Councillor Mendes is an outstanding teacher in our community, and she does a fantastic job writing grants and seeking support. She's got a big heart for local schools. My only opposition, it's got absolutely nothing to do with I'm not ideologically opposed to this, but I'm just worried that if we keep up with this trend, that we're not allowing the state government to do what the state government should be doing in this circumstance, and that is to fund and give every school in our community the opportunity to apply for other grants that they may need for whatever purpose they may be. I haven't got the answers to this, but I think that if we continue to do this, that we're taking money away from other areas with our municipality when this responsibility should solely be on the state government.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Mendez is obviously very eloquent and passionate about schools funding. And also Councillor Bushy pointed out that state governments are now pushing more and more back into council areas. The issue here is we set up a grants program to serve those that are underprivileged, that don't have adequacy of programs out there at the moment. And we should maintain those programs for the simple fact that they're underprivileged, they're underserved. And until such time as the state government, or we advocate to the state government to fill that void, we should always top up. First and primarily, the children, our kids, come first. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to speak against it?
Madam Mayor, I'm not sure if I'm speaking against it.
Actually, can I just seek clarification, if I could, Councillor Madeley? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, on page 138, it says the schools previously limited to apply, but schools remain eligible as a partner with a community service provider where the community service provider is the applicant.
Correct.
So they're still eligible.
While the applicant...
With a community... So all we're adding on dot point four is if they have difficulty finding a community service provider, that our grants officer might be able to link them up, work with them and engage and assist them find a community. So we're not saying that they're not eligible at all. So we're sort of saying it's a state government responsibility. They're still eligible for it as long as they can work with community partnerships. That's correct? Okay, Councillor Matt. I was getting a little bit lost with the debate.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I'm not sure if I'm for or against it at this moment because, like you, I'm not sure where the debate's going. However, I recall being on a harness racing committee grant and there was about five schools applying for whiteboards, and I think we gave like a couple of schools whiteboards. This was before the state government put it all in. And we didn't give a couple of other schools, I can't remember what we based our decision on. I know this kind of saves us from doing that. However, I too don't want to see... I'm in support of schools receiving assistance for programs that are in community, that are in partnership. However, I want to see an equal balance, because once schools get a hold of this, that potentially their programs that aren't funded for whatever reason by the actual school through fundraising or whatever purposes they have, other means, I don't want it to be saturated with schools now seeking who they can partner up with the community, as opposed to having a fair share of community and school community.
That's a very good point, Councillor Madeley, and I would actually ask probably the mover and the seconder if they would accept that this be reviewed after 12 months so we can actually see, as a council, how many schools have applied and how many needed to be assisted.
I'm happy to have it reviewed after 12 months, but I'd also like to say that it alarms me if any schools have got grants for whiteboards.
Hang on, Councillor Mendez, you'll get a right of reply once everybody's finished. And you will too, Councillor Hardy. All I need now from both of you is will you accept the review after 12 months?
I rise to say yes, Madam Mayor. 12 months is quite acceptable.
Thank you. All right. Now, does any other councillor wish to speak to this item? Before Councillor Mendez, Councillor Carley wishes to speak. So.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I just also have to express my concern. I have to admit I was a little bit
concerned when I see the amount of schools that do put in for grants, and yes, they are really good grant writers, and I just don't want to see other members of our community that are really trying, that perhaps don't write grants the way that, you know, the schools do, that miss out for great projects as well. So I have to also express my concern, but I have to say, in hearing what .4 is going to be and that it will be reviewed and the wording, it does sit more comfortably with me.
And can I just ask another point of clarification here, because I'm getting really blunt at the moment. All these grants, after the panel has approved them, they come before council anyway, don't they, for acceptance?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
So at that time, if there's an alarm bell, we could start ringing it. Or we could even change it, if that be the case. Yes.
And Madam Mayor, if I may just add that these grants are in partnership with our club providers or our club partners, so we'll have to go back to them again and ask them if they're happy for the 12 months.
But if we had serious... Oh, no, we're just reviewing who we've given the grants out to and how they're progressing. But in regards to the 12 months. But if we had serious concerns as a council and we had 12 out of the 15 grants were school community groups, we could ask them to go back to the panel and look at those that were unsuccessful, couldn't we? Yep. As a council.
The assessment panel determined that, and it comes to council anyway. So.
The council could step in at that point.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I needed to know. Okay, councillors. Councillor Mendes, would you like to...
I actually obtained a list of the grants for the harness racing going back for about 5 years now, and there were no whiteboards within that grant process time. And I think that the council engagement officers and people on the panel would be smart enough to realise what a worthy grant is, and I think it'd be something that's going to probably provide a more social justice type program rather than whiteboards, because I would be rather alarmed if council were actually providing funds for a whiteboard.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, just a point of clarification, because obviously that was meant for me. I recall sitting on a HRV panel, with a panel, not just myself, that funded whiteboards, because back then it wasn't the all, it was a new technology for disability, for people who, so it was funded. I don't know if it was 5 years ago, but it was.
And council would have supported that at Absolutely. That point, because they obviously went through, so that's fine. I take on everybody's points. We have a motion before us that has the debate has now closed. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Hardy. I'm not going to read .4 out again. I'm just going to say that .5 says it's going to be reviewed in after 12 months. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Could I call a division for that, please? All those in favour of the motion, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Maidlick and Councillor Ibushi. Thank you, councillors. Declare carried. Okay. 12.9 we have... The Vic Health Active Arts Grants Funding Submission. Our General Manager for Community Services, Mr. Heaney's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I touched on this earlier with the notice of motion reports in relation to young people, but I'll be very quick. This was a grant application from officers some time ago for an active arts grant. It was for $85,000, which is good news story, I suppose. It's we have been advised that we've been successful with this grant. The grant is for a project that is titled Everyone Belongs, and it's an active through the arts project to improve physical activity and social cohesion through the arts. And the objective is, there's a number of those, Madam Mayor, but I'll be very quick, is to increase physical activity, to improve Sudanese youth engagement in schools and services, which I touched on earlier. And over the page there's another couple there, but to engage with
the local activity providers to engage with people with disability and obviously to influence council strategies and plans. So we have been advised that it'll be $85,000. That $85,000 will assist in a part-time EFT for 12 months to run the project, and it'll be run out of our library services under the new arts portfolio, Madam Mayor. So you just note that the $85,000 has been successful through this scheme.
Fantastic. Does any council seek clarification on this item? Is there a mover and a second?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this and speak on it if it is seconded.
Thank you, Councillor Mavlik.
Would any councillor like to second this item?
Okay, who's going? Come on, he was only picking on you.
I'd like to second that, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, Councillor Mavlik, you would like to speak to it, yes. So...
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Could I just commend Mr. Heaney and his team for a fantastic effort in receiving this $85,000 grant. Everyone knows that disability is my passion, and anything that we can get to help assist our residents that live with a disability and struggle from day to day is a fantastic win for this council. I look forward to reading the report on the program and the progress that the program's making, but can you, Mr. Heaney, just pass on our congratulations to your team, whichever team was responsible for this grant writing. It's important that in these times, financial hard times, that we can get all the grants that we can from state and federal, and a great win for this council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mavlik. Sorry. Does this is this sort of like Goati?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Just. Would any other councillor like to speak to this item? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Right, drew myself off there. Okay, presentation of staff reports. The support for Indigo Shire Council Family Violence Initiative. Our General Manager for Community Services, Mr. Murray Heaney, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This relates to correspondence that was received by Council on May the 7th of this year. And it was via email from Councillor Jenny O'Connor, which is the Mayor of Indigo Shire Council, expressing an invitation to participate in developing a local government-led campaign in addressing family violence. And as you know, Council has a strong commitment to addressing family violence, as in Melton, in any form, both in the local context and in the broader society. And as you know, Council has endorsed creating of a Family Violence Advisory Committee and also expressed its intent through several strategies in the draft Council plan, which is on exhibition at the moment for 1721. Madam Mayor, it is understood that the invitation has initially been sent to 32 Victorian female mayors seeking an expression of interest to form a working group to develop the campaign. The hope is that the female mayors will collectively agree to develop the campaign and that the male mayors and fellow councillors, both male and female, will stand together with them. The ultimate goal of the campaign is to obtain significant federal funding for a strategy that will bring about cultural change at everyday levels of our society. So basically what's being asked of Council is to indicate the Mayor's support, I suppose, to participate in the development of this proposed campaign. It may include a working group consistent with fellow mayors, of course, as we indicated, and there'll be 32 of those. It's noted that the correspondence and the process to develop the structure that will support the campaign. At this stage, the Mayor of Indigo Shire is seeking an indication of support of the concept and a willingness to participate in that working party, Madam Mayor. So obviously the recommendations are to note the correspondence from Councillor Jenny O'Connor, Mayor of Shire of Indigo, and that is attached in the document, and endorse the Mayor to participate in the family violence campaign as requested by the Mayor of the Shire of Indigo, and of course write to the Mayor of the Shire of Indigo expressing the commitment to participate in that campaign, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Can I just add one dot point, or not add a dot point, just out of the 32 mayors, female mayors that received this email, 29 of them have responded to Mayor Jenny O'Connor already, expressing their support without going to a council meeting. I felt that it was important that I shine a light on this issue and get full council support before I went along and said, Jenny, yes, I'd love to support it. Of course, we see the value of all working together on a family violence campaign, and it's definitely the female mayors will lead the charge, but by no means do we not want to see them, the men mayors, councillors, all be in support of it as well. So I think out of the 29 female mayors that have responded, they all want to be part of the working party or the working panel, so I think that's probably the most it's going to be the most disorganised working party out, but let's hope that they can condense the numbers. Thank you. Does any council seek further clarification on this item?
Madam Mayor, and you kind of took my question almost. Fantastic idea. It's a brilliant, I think it's a fantastic idea from Indigo Shire, from Councillor Jenny O'Connor. Just out of the 32 female mayors, I noticed that there's roughly 5 to 6 months left of the mayoral year.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen at the next step meeting if those out of the 32 don't get re-elected as mayors? Do we know what's going to happen? Obviously,
they've already started the campaign, and the ones the female mayors that step aside will either be replaced by possibly another female mayor, or other new mayors, female mayors, will come into the, and the initiative will continue on.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
But it's not just for the female mayors, again, it's for all female councillors and all councillors, because at the end of the day, the strength comes from the male councillors amongst us to be positive role models in this issue.
Councillors, any further clarification? Is there a mover and a seconder for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Councillor DeSantis.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. How's the laptop going, Councillor DeSantis? I see you still writing on a piece of paper, though.
Yeah, okay.
No, you're fine, though. Okay, before us we have a motion that's been moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. If nobody seeks any further clarification, does any councillor oppose the recommendation or the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried.
Madam Mayor, could I ask for a division just so we can include that in the letter?
Thank you. Division's been called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Bushy. The division's carried. Thank you. Okay, we will now move on to 1211, planning application PA 2016-4/5138, construction of a 40 metre high telecommunications facility at 1200 to 1220 Mount Cottrell Road. Our manager for planning, Mr. Bob Badger, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the purpose of this report is to consider a planning application to, as you say, construct a 40 metre high telecommunications facility for the NBN, the National Broadband Network, on a property off Mount Cottrell Road in Melton South. So consideration of this report was deferred at the last council meeting to enable further discussions with the applicants. These discussions took place at a council briefing on the 22nd of May, so the report is resubmitted back to council for its consideration. So the subject land in this case has an area of about 15 hectares and is located on the western side of Mount Cottrell Road, close to where the southern boundary of the Toolan Precinct Structure Plan area adjoins the Strathtulla estate. There's also an adjoining property to the southwest which has a planning permit for a multi-lot stage subdivision, and that estate is known as the Millstone Estate, which is currently under development. So the application, as I mentioned before, is to construct a 40 metre high telecommunications facility for the wireless national broadband network. The facility will be a monopole design which is to be located near the western boundary of the land. And I might just pause in, Madam Mayor, because on page 173 of the report, it depicts the tower as being what's known as a lattice-style tower, which was what was originally proposed in the application. But subsequently, the plans were amended so that it's now a what's known as a monopole, which, in my opinion, is a better facility from a visual perspective. So I just wanted to point that out, that originally it was a lattice, as shown on the plan, but it's now being proposed as a monopole. The applicants have also recently advised that there is potential for a mobile phone carrier, Optus, to co-locate on the facility at some future point in time, presumably as the Toolan PSP develops, or development happens in the Toolan PSP in this area. So the facility is very similar to one that was recently constructed off Ferris Road in Tea Leaf Lane, which is the road that provides access to the council's recycling facility, and that particular monopole, which is 40 metres high, is, as I mentioned, very similar to what's being proposed here. So this particular facility, therefore, is the second of the NBN facilities that's being proposed. I believe there's also a third one, potentially, that may be subject to a planning application in future in the Plumpton area. But this particular facility provides coverage to areas both within and outside the urban growth boundary, extending to in excess of 6 kilometres to the south towards Boundary Road, and in doing so it fills a gap between the UGP and the Ainsbury Township area. So the application was advertised to surrounding property owners and occupiers, and no objections were received to the application. So under the precinct structure plan, that part of the land where the facility is to be located is designated as part of a larger conservation reserve, essentially to protect existing remnant native vegetation which exists in the area. And if you look at the aerial photo which is attached to the report, you can make out a treed area which basically coincides with the area that's proposed for that future conservation reserve. Further, a future residential development is proposed adjoining the reserve, accessed from a proposed secondary arterial road which will run near the northern boundary of the site. The applicants indicate that they have investigated alternative sites, including land within Surbiton Park. However, these sites were not suitable from a coverage perspective. So while it's acknowledged that the facility is needed to service rural areas in particular within the municipality, which will not have access to broadband in terms of fibre, but simply, I guess, consider that this isn't the most appropriate site from a planning perspective. Such a significant and visually dominant facility in a future conservation reserve in close proximity to future dwellings, it's considered has the potential to detrimentally affect the amenity of future residents. It's therefore considered, Madam Mayor, and recommended that the proposed facility be refused as outlined in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Mr Baggio, sorry I've demoted you all in one fell swoop. Before I ask anybody else if they want clarification, I'm going to ask Mr Baggio. Seeing that most of those areas...
Point of order, Madam Mayor. To maintain impartiality, the chairperson must vacate the chair.
Not under clarification.
You're speaking to it.
No, I'm asking a question.
Yeah, you're speaking to the...
I'm not speaking to it, I'm asking a question. I'm seeking clarification.
That's my understanding, Madam Mayor.
No. Sorry. Thank you, but your point of order has been refused. Okay. With seeing that... all that area is going to be PSP and residential, commercial and industrial, whatever. Where would you identify a site close by so these people that need to access the broadband, where would that ideal site be, other than a conservation area?
So through you, Madam Mayor, in this case, we're arguing that we believe that the conservation reserve isn't an appropriate site for this type of facility. There may be other locations within the PSP area, possibly in proximity to activity centres or open space reserves, but probably our preference would be, given that that ultimately this facility will serve premises outside the UGB, that would be located somewhere outside the UGB in the Green Wedge area.
Thank you. Does any other council seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. In its current form, if it was to be accepted against officers' recommendation, when are they looking at building it? Are they building it now before the residential homes come and settle, or after once, and then the residents are going to say, we didn't buy into this? So do we know when they're actually going to build it physically?
For you, Madam Mayor, it's my understanding that it would be built before the PSP area develops. So fairly soon.
Thank you. Any further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Noting the councillor's recommendation, I wish to move the motion at a later point and talk to the issue.
I lay the point and I would like to second it.
To refuse the...
Correct.
Okay. Councillor. Sorry, can I just ask if any other councillor had clarification before that went on? The motion's been moved by Councillor Hardy to refuse to grant the permit, and it's seconded by Councillor Kissich. Councillor Hardy has indicated he'd like to speak to it, so you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First and foremost, let me also point out that I did ring the gentleman from NBN to have a conversation with him about the information, and there's a wealth of it that I extracted from overseas in Israel and also Germany on exposures to cancers from being close and to monopole areas. And also, the other report that I bring to your attention, Madam Mayor, is the NBN executive summary, which I have, which goes in to debunk some of the issues that people are saying that the towers have to be within 4 kilometres. The report says 14 kilometres line of sight, not 4. It also goes on to say 7% of all people at all times will not be hooked up to NBN. NBN have 3 strategies.
One is fibre to the node, which is the top of the range. The other one is the satellite, and the other one is the monopole, the least attractive of all the issues. So in realisation of this, monopole and NBN wait until council has a reserve, and then they come in and they wish to take up some residence there on a remuneration, and at a later date come and go as they will. If they were so emphatic that it was necessary, let them buy land reserves under their own right. There's nothing stopping them. It's the same as anybody else. It's a commercial position. But more to the point, Madam Mayor, right? The satellite will cover, and this is the NBN report, which I'm happy to put available to all councillors, that they state that they will, but the satellite will cover the majority of Australians for NBN, and those other areas will be fibre to node. And that's in their own reports. This is a commercialisation. Whoever gets in first on the monopole will be able to sublet the pole to their other people. So if Telstra gets in, they'll go to Optus, every other carrier, on a commercial rate. This is about mobile phone coverage, not about NBN coverage. So yes, the one carrier here, Telstra, has a monopoly, but they're quietly disguising their intention here. They can go to monopole at 14 kilometres without any non-effect, without affecting your communications, nor your, deteriorating your mobile coverage. And I quote this again, 7% of all Australians will not be covered by NBN, your own report. But if they put in satellite, which they have too, and they are operational next year, everybody's covered. So why is there a hurry? Why is there a hurry to put the poles there when the satellites will do? Less intrusive, same costs, same everything else, and this is their executive report, not mine. So as I said, Madam Mayor, I think that right, we defer this, take up further discussions with NBN, and if it's so necessary, why aren't we talking about the facility which council owns?
Sorry, can I just seek a point of clarification here? I've got a mover and a seconder for the motion. Now you've just said you want to defer it. So which is it?
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Yeah, okay. I am at this point in time against it.
Yes.
Right, and I'll stay there. The final point I wish to make is if it's so necessary, why aren't they looking at locating at the western base, which is in 600 metres of their current location? Less intrusive, not involved with the public space, and a darn sight safer. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any other councillor wish to enter the debate or discussion?
Madam Mayor, just a point of clarification.
Councillor.
So, Councillor Hardy is agreeing with the recommendation.
That's right.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Any councillor wish to enter the discussion? Actually, do I dare? No. Stay out of it. Okay. I was about to move an alternate, but I won't. Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does anybody oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried.
Madam Mayor, can I call for a division, please?
Division's been called by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Maidlick, and Councillor Abushi. The division's been carried. Thank you. We'll now move on to 12.14 in the agenda. It's the use of the land for another purpose, 26 Crestmont Drive, Melton South, and it's to be presented by, not our CEO, by Miss Denia
manager for
legal and governance.
Legal and governance.
Let's see how the committee goes this time.
Just swapping our seats. The purpose of the report is to bring to Council's attention the two written submissions received in relation to this matter, following on from Council's resolution on the 3rd of April and the public notice which appeared in the Star Weekly on the 11th of May 2017. This matter being a proposal to use the land for a youth and community care unit. At the ordinary meeting of Council held on 3rd April 2017, Council resolved, among other things, to give public notice of its proposal to use the land located at 26 Cresmont Drive, Melton South, for a use other than that which it was acquired. The land was acquired for public open space and Council proposes to use it for a youth community care unit. The public notice setting out Council's intention appeared in the Melton Star Weekly published on 11 April 2017. As stated in the notice, a person making a submission also has the right to be heard in person before the Council or a committee established for this purpose. Submissions were open until the 9th of May 2017. I'll move now to risk. In terms of risk, the risk is the same as set out in the report presented at the meeting on the 3rd of April 2017, that Council has committed to locating a suitable site for the facility, and if the facility cannot be built at 26 Cresmont Drive, Melton South, there is a risk that another suitable location will not be found. Turning now to the submissions, two submissions were received. The first, dated 1 May 2017, was received by Council on the 5th of May. The second submission was undated and was received by Council after the date for submissions on the 10th of May. Neither submission stated that the person making the submission wished to be heard in person. Nevertheless, on Friday the 12th of May, Council wrote to both submitters asking if either of them wished to be heard in person. In both cases, a letter was hand-delivered to the address of the submitter advising that if he or she wished to be heard in person, that he or she should contact Council by 5pm on the 19th of May 2017. Neither submitter made contact with Council. The two submissions were identical in text, save for the personal details of both. A copy of that text with the personal information redacted for privacy reasons is attached at Appendix 1. Council must now consider the two written submissions and make a final decision as to the proposed use. The main concerns expressed in the two submissions are in relation to vehicular traffic and to drug use in the street. In particular, so it is alleged by the occupants of one particular set of units in the street. These two matters, the traffic and the alleged drug use, would appear to be matters that can be addressed separately and in isolation of the proposed use and can form the basis of further and separate actions or resolutions. Accordingly, the recommendation is that Council, having considered the two written submissions in relation to the proposed use, one, determined to use the land for the establishment of a youth community care unit to be established and run by Hope Street, two, request Council officers to prepare a report in relation to the traffic in Cresmont Drive, Melton South, and three, write to Victoria Police at Melton, bringing to its attention the alleged illegal activity mentioned in the written submissions appended to the report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Denyer. Does any Council seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover and a second for this item? Councillor Turner?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this. It's been a long time coming, and I'm really pleased to see this coming to Council. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Councillor Turner.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. Does any Council seek further clarification? Does any Council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion?
The motion's carried. I'd like to call a division. All those in favour of the motion, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Mendes, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Babushi, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy. The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. Reports from delegations appointed by other bodies. These are councillor committees. So, Councillor Turner, I'll start off with my deputy, if that's okay.
Yes, Madam Mayor, no problem. I'll just be quick. On the 9th of May, I attended the annual grants assessment meeting. On the 17th of May, the Community Safety Advisory Committee. And on the 25th of May, the Youth Advisory Council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Mendes?
My only commitment with the committees was the monthly responsive grant on the 12th of May.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor DeSantis?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 17th of May, I attended the COLDAC committee, which also with Councillor Bob Turner. We spoke about NBN information, which was very helpful to the communities, for them to take back to their communities, and also the intercultural strategy will be distributed, which, again, I'd like to offer my congratulations and thanks to Isan and Murray Heaney for all his work and all the council officers' work. Fantastic work, and they should be commended for this. On the 24th of May, the Reconciliation Committee, also with Councillor Carley, we spoke about possible employment opportunities for Indigenous Australians within our community. Some great ideas were passed around the table with traineeships and recruitment. Also, we spoke about possum skins. The men's group and the women's group from Kirrup House will be doing these in the near future, which is great. And also, a new art course will be offered, which is great work for the Indigenous art being taught with this initiative. Also, very, very positive feedback from Kirrup House for the Mountain City Council for all the assistance that they have given. So that's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 24th of May, like my fellow councillor, Councillor DeSantis just said, I attended the Reconciliation Advisory Committee. Councillor DeSantis has covered it all, except that there are some events for Reconciliation Week in the City of Melton. There's a Melton Koori art display, which is at the Melton Library and Learning Hub from the 25th of May to the 10th of July. There is also, I know some of these have passed,
Madam Mayor.
The Long Walk, which is on Thursday the 1st of June, starting at the corner of Coburn's Road and High Street, Melton, finishing at Melton Community Hall. And there will also be the guided walking tour at Melton Botanic Gardens on Friday the 2nd of June as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The 26th of April, I attended the audit committee. All the issues there that have been put through, they are in our reports and everything else, but they are in camera, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, just short, I would like to say that on the 9th of May, I was... annual grants assessment meeting, mm-hmm. and also on 18th of May, it was a meeting at Ravenhall.
Fantastic. Thank you. Councillor Madelick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the MAV State Council, where some 60 motions went before the MAV State Council with the 79 different councils. And with the new president of the MAV, Councillor Mary Lelios from Whittlesey, first female president elected in the MAV, she did a fantastic job, and I believe the MAV is over 100 years old, so this is like a big deal. So a big congratulations to her. She did a fantastic job chairing the meeting, and can I just pass on to Councillor Amelia Stachova, please pass on a fantastic congratulations to your fellow councillor. She did an absolute marvellous job, blew me out of the water. She knew every single MAV delegate of the 79 councils, so I was very impressed.
interest, and she chaired the meeting very well. Some motions of interest to, I guess, Melton Council included the landfill levy distribution, which included greater transparency in where the current landfill levy is being spent, which is quite... it's to do with obviously us and our potential future landfill expansion. Also more landfill money to be spent to support waste reduction and programs to improve recycling. So some state government requests there, a lot of advocacy. Also a few motions regarding the ongoing funding for Metro Access programs, which at the moment this funding is questionable as to whether it will remain or not. It is an important program that assists our residents who live with a disability, so hopefully that advocacy to the state government will... or actually I think that's federal, will tip them over the edge to keep that funding. I know in particular our Metro Access officer does a fantastic job, and so I hope that that funding will continue. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madeley. Councillor Ibushi.
No, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Okay, I have, and I won't go into these, but if anyone wants further information, I've got all the minutes that were the Waves Reference Committee with Councillor DeSantis, the Melton Municipal Fire Management Committee, the Annual Grants Assessment Panel with Councillor Kesich and Councillor Turner, the Lead West Budget Briefing with my CEO, Calvin Torrey, the Mayor's Network, Ember Civic, Road Safe Westgate, Community Safety Advisory Committee with Councillor Bob Turner, my deputy, the L2P Steering Committee, Lead West Breakfast Briefing with the Treasurer, Tim Pellis, with the CEO, Mr. Torrey, and the PDAC Committee with Councillor Hardy. All those minutes are either in the agenda or I've got full copies of them, and if you need to know anything more, that'll come up in the next part of the reporting. Thank you. Whilst I'm here and standing, I'll commence with the and do what I did last time, and then councillors may add or subtract because there was a couple that I couldn't attend due to my really poor performance as Torval and Dean where I hurt my hip. The Volunteer Forum Visitors Information Centre was held this month, and it was fantastic to see the three or four visitor information centres come together to discuss what they can do better and see what great regional facilities we have in our in the West, I should say. Meeting the Deputy Chair of the Greater Metropolitan Cemetery Trust. We held a meeting with the Melton Secondary College, Westwater's All for Paul's fundraiser. Who went to that? Mr. Turner, or Councillor Turner, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Madeley, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis. And I'm not going to say if it's councils going to the dogs. Who did I miss?
No. I just said what did we attend?
All for Paul's fundraiser.
Yes. That was a good one.
You missed my pun, because I looked up to make sure that I hadn't missed anybody. Okay, the Caroline Springs Rotary Club inaugural Mother's Day afternoon tea with Councillor Mendes, the Councillor's Volunteer Celebrations, Councillor Carley, Councillor Hardy, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Mendes joined me that evening, and wasn't Tim Costello absolutely inspirational? Absolutely inspirational. The Sew and Tell launch exhibition with Councillor Mendes. We've got some budding youngs. And Councillor Ibushi was there as well. He popped in with my favourite, Orlando. Pop culture groovy movie night, Councillor Mendes and Councillor Ibushi. Citizenship ceremony was conducted with Councillor Turner, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes and Councillor DeSantis. The Ida Hobbit celebrations, now I wasn't 100% sure on this, so Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner and Councillor Hardy. Did I miss anybody? Okay, the visit to our new church facility with Councillor Hardy. Did I mention you in... Yes, I did. Okay, then I was blown away. Now, literally, in 16 years on council, I have never been blown away by our staff amaze me daily. They inspire me daily, just as the community do. But we've got some incredible HR units or departments. And Josh Warner, and Chris, especially Josh, but Kristen Goldsworth as well, Goldsworthy, set up a inter-council challenge for emerging leaders, and our young leaders needed to, and this is the second year it's been run. Last year they had four councils participate. Now we don't know the results, and even failing not knowing the results for another week, I felt they represented Melton so incredibly well. They not only had to interview for the process, they had to interview most of the directors to find out what was going on, and our staff did an absolutely incredible job of helping them through these challenges. Notably, I'd like to say that Christine Denyer played Hillary Clinton, an abbreviation of Hillary Clinton, and the gentleman to my left played a very vivacious developer coming in. Now it seems like every single challenge they had, there was troublesome councillors. Now, I don't know who they could be referring to, because these councillors are just the best. But apart from Josh and Kristen, we had two mentors, Lauren Williams and Dylan Weeks. They were part of the Emerging Leaders Challenge last year, and so they came back this year to mentor. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've got, there was Melton, there was Wyndham, there was Moonee Valley, there was Moorabool, there was Hobsons Bay, and was there Whittlesea? Was that the last one? Mitchell. Sorry, I wasn't sure whether it was Whittlesea, it was Mitchell. Okay, now, these are the young ones that represented Team Melton. Maurice Edwards. Maurice is from?
Engineering.
Major Development, sorry. Jess Pierman is from? Come on, someone's got to give me some information here.
Engineering, Madam Mayor.
Engineering. Miles Saunders is from? Graffiti Removal. Adam Munro is our General Manager's Personal Assist Executive EA. Indideep. What's his name? Thaper? Community Planning. And Rebecca Murdoch. Rates. This team of wonderful future leaders held up the challenge exceptionally well. And can I make sure that the general managers and their managers let them know how very, very proud council was of them. They were exceptional and I was blown away. I just didn't want the day to finish. Lee Wiles played a councillor that absconded with some money. There you go. No reflection on any of us. Then we went to the Aspire Photo Voice project launch. Councillor Turner, Hardy and DeSantis joined me at that event. Official opening of the arts exhibition renewal by Barry Melder. And Councillor Carley and Councillor Mendes joined me for that one, and that was terribly moving. There was a prep to grade 2 visit at Toolumbale Primary School, and honestly, the grade preppies have got some really interesting questions about that, what they'd like to see in the city of Melton. The Minister, Councillor, Mr Heaney, our General Manager for Community Services, and our CEO and myself met with Parliamentary Health Minister Gabriel Williams. Then we conducted the Fatality Free Friday. We had a Uniting Church playgroup for the biggest morning tea. And then five councillors went down to the Diggers Rest Biggest Morning Tea hosted by David O'Connor, who's in the chambers. They were Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Carley and Councillor DeSantis and myself. Now, Mr O'Connor, would you like to say how much you raised? Because I'm about to say it if you don't.
Yep. Once they receive a cheque from council, $3,300. What a fantastic effort. Well done. The Melton Koori Art Display, where Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Carly join me. Story Day, Shared Stories event. Now, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Carly, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house, was there? The Reconciliation Week with event with Hope Street, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carly, Councillor Turner, and then Councillor Hardy joined us at Kirrup House. The open day for Melton Botanic Gardens, Councillor Turner did the tour, and then it rained and I had to be taken round in a van. What a shame. Thank you, Mr. Bentley, for that. And the Australian Red Cross the certificates of appreciation were conducted yesterday, and Councillor Turner did those on behalf of Red Cross. So thank you very much, everybody. I will now move on to who wants to go next. Councillor Hardy.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just one area up there. It was the...
You may sit down if you want to go off the computer.
Oh, yeah. The Careers Expo on the 23rd of this month at Tabcorp Park.
Yeah.
The range of providers there, right, and not to know anybody, in front of anybody else, went from Melbourne University to Deakin, to BU, to Holmes Lab, and then all the providers, all the TAFE providers, were all there. And the amount of skilled children who were actually around seeking advice on careers, right? The Tabcorp Park was full, and they were still coming in by bus. They'll be bussed in, and that just shows that, like, the need for education, the priority of education, it should be of such significance that we as councils, we should be in there promoting to the state government that there is an underfunding here in Melton from their education.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't matter whether you're in Caroline Springs or in Melton City or Melton South or West Melton, whatever. There is a need. And education done properly creates equality. Because it doesn't matter where you go in the world, if you're being employed, nobody asks you where you got your diploma, or where you got your degree, or where you got your electrical certificate from. They know that you are qualified. But not having proper education creates the divide and inequality, because you cannot succeed. You cannot strive. You cannot go out and get apprenticeship. You can't get a traineeship. You can't. And there's more can'ts than can. So our primary response should be here. Education at all costs should be a fundamental in that.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Turner, I'm going to shake it up a bit.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'm falling asleep. This is going on too long, so I'm really not going to go through all this. I'll just pick a couple.
I've mentioned most.
Apologies. Most of them you've mentioned, but there's a couple just need to be. So I mentioned the Botanic Gardens yesterday in the rain was fantastic. And the Red Cross yesterday. That's all I'm going to talk about, because I have a couple of things to give Marina. First one is a thank you certificate from the Red Cross, which we picked up yesterday when you and myself were there. And the second thing is, it's an almost beautiful certificate, but what it's about is, last year we won the state award for this category, which was Best Planning Ideas Large Project, and it was for our Melton Drystone Wall Study and Amendment. And unfortunately, we didn't win the top prize, but we got the runner-up prize for the 2017 National Award for Planning Excellence.
I don't mind coming second. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Much appreciated. Thank you. Okay, Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, on the 9th of May, I attend a meeting with Justin Beerham, Burnside Heights Football Club.
Yes.
I had to go afterwards very quickly and annual grand assessment meeting, so tomorrow, day after actually, I rang him back and I asked him once again to, thank you, to tell me what is the issues in the club. Then after that, I on the 16th of the May, attended the citizenship ceremony, and I'm sorry, I forgot I was present on the 6th of May, Les Waters Hotel fundraising event. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Didn't I mention you?
Yes, you did, but I'd like it to repeat.
Okay, that's all right.
Thank you.
I just thought I'd missed you, sorry. Okay, Councillor Carley. Now, this is going to confuse me, isn't it?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I know you've mentioned some of them, but I'll go back through them as well. 6th of May, West Waters Hotel fundraising event for All Four Paws Dog Rescue. 11th of May, Council Volunteer Week celebration with Reverend Tim Costello. And can I just say, it was so great to also have it at the Russo Estate in Diggers Rest. I know I don't think Council's ever used that.
With the volunteers and a few other things.
Okay, I just think it's absolutely brilliant that we used another venue, which a lot of residents might not be aware of. 17th of May, Ida Hoppet celebrations at the Community Hall. 19th of May, the official opening of the art exhibition renewed by Barry Melder. And can I just say how great it is to have the gallery being utilised like this, and especially for our local artists. That was a wonderful evening. The 23rd of May, the Careers Expo. I know Councillor Hardy touched on that, but I do agree with you. The buses of children that were coming in were just, I've never seen so many kids, to be honest, unless you're at a school assembly, but the teachers and just the different courses that are available for kids. And, you know, sometimes kids aren't, you know, cut out for uni. It's not what they want to do, but the police were there and there was other electronics and apprenticeships and everything there open for them. So that was a great morning. The Diggers Rest Community Biggest Morning Tea. Well done to David O'Connor, Madam Mayor. I know you touched on that. The Melton Curry Art Display launch. Please, if you haven't gone out to see that at the Melton Library, go and have a look. You'd be really, really impressed. That was also a great evening. The 26th of May, Madam Mayor, I spent the morning with Councillor Maidlick and Councillor DeSantis, and we attended another biggest morning tea at Christ the Priest Primary School, and I don't know what the final figure was, but that was also a full house at that in the school hall, and I just wanted to say well done to Sue Volpe who would organise the event along with her with the other mums and their social committee. On the same day, the Sorry Day Shared Stories event at Kirrup Aboriginal Community House, and Madam Mayor, you were right, there was not a dry eye there to listen to the stories from Uncle Roy and the others. It was very, very touching. And on the 27th of May, Madam Mayor, the Reconciliation Week event of flag raising at Hope Street, partnered with Kirrup Aboriginal Community House, was also a great morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bushy.
Madam Mayor, on the 9th of the 5th, I met with the Burnside Heights Footy Club with a few council officers and councillors. That was a good opportunity to tour the pavilions and grounds. 12th of the 5th, Sew and Tell exhibition at CS Gallery, as you mentioned, and also Pop Culture, Groovy Movie Night. I took my wife and two boys to see Secret Life of Pets. That was good. 17th of the 5th, invitation to tour of the new church facility, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Melton. I went to the morning...
Oh, you went to the afternoon?
Afternoon session. A little bit lost, and I had two sessions, did the tour of their new building, and they explained the purpose and the usage and how they're looking to expand, which is good for our community. On the 27th of the 5th, I attended the flag-raising ceremony for the Reconciliation Week at Hope Street Family and Youth Services, along with the Kirrup Aboriginal Corporation. And finally, acknowledgement and a final thank you to the youngest councillor of Victoria, Councillor Amelia Sajova, the City of Whittlesey City Council, for attending our ordinary meeting tonight, and you are always welcome back. Thanks for attending.
Councillor Mendes.
OK,
Okay, I'll touch on a few things that you have actually spoken about, but I'd actually like to commend the Council on the work that they're doing and thanking the volunteers that work tirelessly in the City of Melton. The volunteer night at Russo's was absolutely fantastic, and I agree with Councillor Carley, it was good to change venues and try something new, and I'd love to go back there again. In regards to the arts exhibits, I've attended the Show and Tell exhibition and the Renewed exhibit and the Aboriginal artwork, and I'd like to commend Eric Nash and his wonderful passion and adventure for art. He's actually brought art alive in the City of Melton, and he's actually acknowledging the work that our actual residents do in art, and I think he's doing a fabulous job and should be commended, and I hope that's passed on to him because he's just got such a passion that I've never seen before. And then I'd like to commend David O'Connor. The Diggers Rest Morning Tea was absolutely fantastic to see such a wonderful cause being promoted in the City of Melton, and to raise such a large amount of funds is an absolute honour for our city. So once again, I hope you continue in the coming years because it was great to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Sorry, can I stay seated? Is that okay?
Yes, you certainly can.
I attended the Westwaters All for Paws fundraiser, which was a great night and cause with my fellow councillors. Ida Hubbard flag raising celebrations was fantastic, especially to have the minister out. That was really, really awesome. 11th of May was Council Volunteer Week. Celebration was with Reverend Tim Costello spoke, CEO of World Vision. Was very inspirational, and thank you to all the volunteers within the City of Melton. 18th of May, Aspire Photo Voice Project launch at Melton Library. Family violence survivors took pictures and used these as a narrative and what it means for them and their experiences. It was very touching. 23rd of May, Careers Expo with Councillor Carley, which was fantastic to see so many people at Tabcourt Park. 25th of May was a Diggers Rest Community Biggest Morning Tea, all proceeds going to the Anti-Cancer Council, which was fantastic. 26th of May was the Curie Art Exhibition at Melton Library launch, amazing local, amazing Indigenous artwork. 26th of May, National Sorry Day at Kirrup House, Melton South, a very touching event, hearing Indigenous elders and their stories regarding their experiences of having been a part of the Stolen Generation. Honoured to have been a part of this significant day, I would like to thank Kirrup House for making us feel so very welcome. 27th of May, the flag raising and welcome to country ceremony at Hope Street Youth and Family Services and Kirrup House. It was so refreshing to see these two local service providers working together, and they should be commended for all the wonderful work that they do within our community. I'd also like to thank and acknowledge the Victoria Police for all the great work that they do in our community. From what I've been told from a few residents, the response time in some cases have been at less than 4 minutes, which I think is just fantastic, and I'd just like to acknowledge that and thank them for that and keeping us safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Madlick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will be brief, looking at the time. As you mentioned, Westwater's fundraiser event, All for Paws, great event and worthwhile cause. I also attended the Burnside Heights Football Mother's Day Afternoon Tea fundraiser and then stayed for the meeting with the president of the Burnside Heights president. I also attended the Melton Library Migratory Birds with myself, Councillor Turner, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Hardy. It was a great event hosted by the Melton Botanic Garden Group, and it was a very artistic and expressive way of informing us of our wonderful bird life within our municipality. There was a little bird, I can't remember what it was called, but it flies all the way from here to, I think, almost Russia and back, so it's amazing. No, it wasn't Pelican, it was smaller. Sorry, Councillor Hardy. Was it? No. Thank you. That was fantastic. It was very artistic and creative. Also met with Peter Berquist, Caroline Springs RSL, and Brian Clark from the Caroline Springs Lions Club. Unfortunately, Caroline Springs Lions Club will be folding and cease to exist on the 30th of June. And I just wanted to highlight and thank the Caroline Springs Lions Club for the great things that the club has done over the years and the great things that it's done for our community. And perhaps, Madam Mayor, this is just talking on the fly, if we could write a letter of appreciation to them.
Certainly
can. I know it's not notices of motion, but...
you can move it.
Yeah, could I move that letter be...
I'd like to second that.
...under council seal. Thank you, Madam Mayor. And finally, Christ the Priest Biggest Morning Tea fundraiser for Cancer Council. a fundraiser for a worthy cause. Unfortunately, it is very rare to hear that no one to be touched by this unforgiving disease, either personally or by someone we love or we know. It was a great event and a great turnout by the Christ the Priest school community. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Now, the motion's been put by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Does everybody know what the motion is? Okay. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, can I call for a division and add that to the letter so we can, so they can know that
it was unanimous?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor.
The division's been called by Councillor Madelick. All those in favour of the motion, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Mendes, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Vucci, Councillor Madelick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy. Thank you, councillors. The division's carried. Thank you. If I've forgotten, I've got two on either side of me reminding me. Okay, we'll now move on to notices of motion. Notice of motion 479, Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on the 29th of May 2017. That council officers identify potential alternate sites for the Caroline Springs RSL Memorial and report to council on their assessment of those identified alternate sites.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second, but could I add to the motion, if Councillor Kesich is happy, that after the alternate sites, it says in conjunction with the Caroline Springs RSL sub-branches, president and committee members, if Councillor Kesich is happy with that?
Absolutely. I have spoken to them about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we've got a slight amendment. It's been moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Does any councillor oppose the motion? Would any councillor, sorry, I've gone up a bit. Would any councillor like to speak to the motion?
Madam Mayor, currently a monument is located in the quite hidden location, and I think that our diggers deserve some other prominent location in the Eastern Corridor. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to speak to the motion? Motion, again, I'm not even going to ask you to sum up. The motion's been moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Madelick. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you.
Can I ask for a division, Madam Mayor?
Division's been called by Councillor Madelick. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Kesich, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Madelick, Councillor Carley and Councillor Abushi. Now, have I confused everybody yet on the computer? Oh, what a shame.
They're keeping up.
I'll clear the division, Carrie. I was trying to make sure that was the people who did it. 15.2, Notice of Motion 480, Councillor Madelick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that Council considers reviewing the Local Law 2013 meeting procedure.
The motion's been moved by Councillor Madelick. Does the motion have a second? Dar?
I'd like to second it, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Motion's been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Bushy. Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor seek further clarification on this item? Would any councillor like to speak to the item? Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. 15.3, Notice of Motion 481, Councillor Madelick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Now, can I use Councillor Madelick as an example? We need to start the motions from where it says motion and read beyond that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that council officers provide councillors with a briefing. Sorry, there is an add-on to this, sorry, an addition at the end of...
Well, let's not use Councillor Madelick as an example.
That council officers provide councillors with a briefing and subsequent report in relation to the master plan for the Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve Pavilion and Grounds, reviewing and updating in consultation with the main users any items that have not yet been completed to ensure what is proposed in the master plan is still relevant and required in the current environment, including that officers include in a report/briefing the costs associated in enabling the area that was originally proposed for a community youth activity node into a basic and safe training area in consultation with the Burnside Bears president.
Have you got that written down, or would you like to repeat that?
So apart from what's written, the addition is that officers include in the report or the briefing the costs associated in enabling the area that was originally proposed for a community youth activity node into a basic and safe training area in consultation with the Burnside Bears president. So nothing fancy, if that could be added in the report or the briefing, the costs and what's involved.
Okay.
Should it be seconded, Madam Mayor?
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. Now, is there a seconder for Councillor Ibushi?
I'd like to second, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ibushi. The motion's been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Ibushi. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Would any councillor like to speak to the motion? Does any councillor oppose the motion before us? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you.
Do I dare ask for a division, Madam Mayor?
Sorry.
You're lucky.
You can use me as an example.
Councillor Madelick has asked for a division. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Mendes, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Madelick, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Carley. The division's carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, 15.4, Councillor Mendes.
I'd like to move that council officers provide a full report of the sealing of Tarletonson's Road, detailing all specifications carried out and the details of the contractor that completed work on Tarletonson's Road.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Is this motion seconded?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Would any councillor like to speak to this motion? Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. 15.5, notice of motion 483, Councillor Mendes.
Okay, apologies for a second one on the same issue. That council officers write to Vic Roads requesting that the speed limit on Tarletonson's Road be reduced from 80 kilometres to 60 kilometres and that appropriate approvals be sought to reduce the truck load limit and the truck signage be installed reducing truck load limits.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. The motion's been moved by Councillor Mendes. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would like to...
Oh, sorry.
Councillor Kesich this time.
You had one previous, so...
One.
Thank you.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor seek further clarification on the item? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I've spoken to the residents in regards to Tarletonson's Road just as early as this afternoon, and they're just wanting, where it says 60 kilometres, could it be down to, if we could aim for 40 kilometres because of how dangerous Tarletonson's Road is, if the mover and the seconder are happy to bring it down to 40? instead of 60?
Could we... It's just... It's, we can ask.
We can ask.
But they're more likely to refuse it at 40 than 60.
I understand that, Madam Mayor, and I did say that, but they're really hoping that council could at least ask for 40. That is what they are wanting. And then if not 60, they would be happy with, but they're really wanting 40.
Is there something that if we get... Now, I'm going to seek clarification here, because if we go from 80 kilometres to 40 kilometres, should we then add an amendment or appendix there that says failing the 40 kilometre, could we advocate for allowing to 60?
Well, first off, you've got to get the consent of... Yeah,
I will do that, but I'm just trying to work out, would that be possible? Because if we... Okay. Councillor Mendes, would you be happy to go down to 40?
I'd be happy to do that. My concern is that 40 kilometres is almost reducing it to a school zone. I think you'd be very lucky if you got that in an area like Tarleton's Row. So I think you need to be very cautious about putting that in an amendment.
Yeah.
Madam Mayor, if you allow me, a drop from 80 to 40 could be quite dangerous, actually. Could be really dangerous. It's a huge drop. It's for 50.
How about... We try from... Oh, well, sorry. No, I can't.
Madam Mayor, we could try from 80 to 50 being a local road, although it's not local road, but
how about we try 80 to 60, and if we're successful with the 60, then we'll try to 50 or 40 after that.
I would suggest, Madam
Mayor... I'm drawing it back.
2 years of the same thing would be highly unlikely.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll just go for 50 if we're happy to go for in between.
50.
You're going to win that before you'd win a 40 kilometres.
So you're happy with 50?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Are you happy with Councillor Carley with 50?
I am, Madam Mayor. I think the residents will be happy with 50. Like I said, they were really aiming for 40, but I do understand that it is like we're going into a school zone, but this is a really dangerous road, and they were happy if it was going to be 60, but if we can get it to 50, I'm sure that they'll be very happy.
All right, thank you, Councillor Carley. So with the mover and seconder both agreeing to 50, to go from 80 kilometres per hour to 50 kilometres per hour, does any other councillor have any further clarification? Councillor Hardy.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Two things. One is that the load limit to a local road would bring it under the 8 tonne per fixed wheel. And that would be consistent with that. Is that where we want to go? Is that how it would be expressed?
Through you, Madam Mayor, if I could just provide clarification. The process for introducing a truck load limit requires Vic Roads approval, and that's something that Council can and has done in the past. It's not necessarily a straightforward matter. What the Officer comments propose is that a report comes to Council advising of what the current situation is in terms of truck movements on that road and the process going forward in terms of seeking to implement a limit on the truck capacity. Thank you.
Okay. Does any other... if there's no further clarification, the motion's been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor wish to speak to the motion? Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, 15.6, notice of motion 484, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that Council write to relevant state and federal ministers, Victoria Police and neighbouring councils as appropriate, inviting participation in the roundtable discussion to develop targeted and coordinated responses to work with youth who are on the fringe or at risk of disengaging. The focus of this initiative will be to urgently address community concerns about public safety within the municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. The motion's been moved by Councillor Bushy. Is there a seconder for this
motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Hardy.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Did you sit down?
He sat down.
Okay.
I defer.
I didn't see that. Okay, Councillor DeSantis. The motion's been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. Does any councillor seek further clarification on this item? Does any councillor oppose the motion? Would any councillor like to speak to the motion?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, as you know, our community is deeply concerned with the escalating level of violence and antisocial behaviour in our city. And whilst I understand that state government is doing what it can on several fronts to address these concerns, I feel that we need to bring these stakeholders together to develop targeted and coordinated responses to work with youth who are on the fringe or at risk of disengaging. By coordinating responses, we can address the public safety concerns in a much more strategic and resourceful way. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any other councillor wish to address the chamber? Okay, if there's nobody else wishing to speak, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. No one opposes the motion. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you.
Division, please, Madam Mayor.
Division's been called by Councillor Bushy. All those in favour of the motion? Now let's see how it goes. All those in favour? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Mendes, Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Maidlick. Thank you. The division's been carried. Thank you. 15.7, notice of motion 485, Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, I would like to give a notice of my intention to move the following motion at ordinary meeting of the Council to be held on 29th of May 2017. That Council contribute up to $10,000 towards the site works required to allow installation of an electronic scoreboard at the Burnside Heights Recreational Reserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor. Sorry. Actually, I did notice Councillor Mendes first.
That's fine.
Councillor Mendes, if that's okay. The motion's been moved by Councillor Mendes, moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. What's the reason that the amount has changed? Because initially there was a set amount that was for the project, and now it's basically doubled. Can you give a reason?
Certainly, Madam Mayor. If I may say, the idea was actually for scoreboard to be placed on a roof of the building, which would be way cheaper. Yeah. Well, that would include a certain involvement of electricians and all sort of people to fix that. So the easiest one would be this one, to place it down on the ground just next to the pitch, and that would push the price of installation up. Are you happy with the answer?
Councillor Turner, I saw some minutes from a meeting. I don't know if all the other councillors saw it as well, but it said that if it was placed on the building, wouldn't be structurally sound to have it on the building, and it wouldn't, at that stage, it would have only cost the club minimal to have it there, but they felt it better being put around the oval, which then meant underground power and other things, so that's where the price hike happened.
Whose idea was it to put it on the building in the first place?
Well, the club wanted to put it on the building, but it was our officers that suggested that the building wasn't structurally sound to do that. Is that accurate, roughly?
Pretty much.
Councillor. As he's about to go and leave, General Manager for Community Services, Mr. Heaney.
Madam Mayor and Councillors, just so you're aware, the advice from the officers that it not go on the facility, one, because of the location, and it's most appropriate that it's round in the pocket or further round the rec reserve, but it does come at a cost. So the club's view is that it comes at the cost requested in the notice of motion for the additional electrical works, etc. So to put it on the building, yes, you'd save a bit of electrical work, but you'd be up more for computations and engineering designs, again, is the advice from the officers.
Okay. Are you happy with that response, Councillor Turner? Any further clarification sought on this notice of motion? Okay. The motion's been moved by Councillor Kearsage, seconded by Councillor Mendes. If there's no further clarification, would any councillor like to speak on the motion?
Madam Mayor, I would just like to say a few words. It was really beautiful to see that the pitch was absolutely full of children been playing rather than playing a PlayStation or something like that. It was really nice to see. And the Burnside Bears is one of the strongest and the biggest clubs in Eastern Corridor with a massive membership, and I think that they deserve our support to put the children out pitch and play rather than play indoors. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kearsage. Any other councillor wish to speak to the item? Okay. The motion again been moved by Councillor Kearsage, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you.
Just ask for a division, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Maidlick has asked for a division. You're out to test me, aren't you? Okay, but all those in favour of the motion? Yeah, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Mendes, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Kearsage, and Councillor Maidlick. That division's carried. Thank you. Councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this would be to Mr. Shannon. And I'm just wondering if he has any idea of the plans for the Western Highway as far as increasing the number of lanes. And also, I'm meaning from Rock Bank through to Melton. And also, I'd like to ask you a question. What's happening at Mount Clotwell Road? How long will it be till that 7L sign disappears? Do you know?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In relation to the first question, we've had a number of recent discussions with Vic Roads regarding them developing a business case for the upgrade of the Western Highway, particularly between Caroline Springs and the Melton Township, but primarily that relates to around the Rockbank Township where there's a number of points of direct access. So Vic Roads are seeking to do that work now, which will put them in a better position when funding opportunities arise at a state and federal level for them to put forward a business case. Obviously that's badly needed, particularly with the significant growth in the municipality. The volumes of traffic on the Western Highway are significant, and also coming from the Ballarat and Adelaide direction. In relation to the roadworks at Mount Cottrell Road, the Thornhill Park developer is undertaking construction works adjacent to the freeway. In essence, that's an acceleration and deceleration lane leading into Mount Cottrell Road and into their estate. When we previously raised that issue with Vic Roads, they indicated those works would be completed by the end of March. However, the developer had until the end of May to complete the works. Well, that, in my figuring, is about 24 hours away. I noticed in my recent observations that there's still a significant amount of work to be done at that location, so I can't possibly see it being done over the next 1 to 2 days. So we'll be again raising that with Vic Roads. Unfortunately, the barriers adjacent to the freeway are essential in terms of ensuring the safety of the contractors who are undertaking the work, but it's clearly unacceptable that Vic Roads have allowed this work to carry on for so long because of the disruption it causes on the Western Freeway. So we'll be taking that up with the regional manager again. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shen.
I was under the impression that the roadworks were maybe finished in December, initially.
Madam Mayor, I think it has been raised at a previous council meeting. I'm quite sure that I indicated March, but the opportunity to complete them was allowed through the end of May. I'll double check that, but that's my strong recollection. But notwithstanding that, it's too long, and Vic Road shouldn't allow that to continue.
Great.
Thank you. Any further councillors' questions without notice? Motions without notice. Councillor Bushy.
Madam Mayor, I have two. The officers prepare...
If they're on a piece of paper, you can stand up. Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
It was worth a try. That officers prepare a report to council providing options for the use of social procurement criteria, which may include, amongst other things, the use of local labour and local suppliers in every contract for which it conducts a tender. I'm very passionate about this one, Madam Mayor.
I can tell. And the second one, Councillor Bushy?
I need to sit for this one, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
That council write to the Honourable Minister Brendan O'Connor, thanking him for advocating for federal funding needed for the upgrade to the Melton Highway between Caroline Springs and Melton.
I totally concur with that. Unfortunately, Brendan's not a minister.
Okay, well, Shadow Minister.
Shadow Minister.
Yeah.
Okay.
Member for Gorton.
Member for Gorton. Thank you. And
Sorry, that's Western Highway. Not Melton. Melton Highway, but Western technical.
Yeah. My motion is that after consultation with Roads to Zero Committee, the Board Committee and Community Safety Forum, that council plant a mature tree at an appropriate location with a plaque that reads, in remembrance of those that have lost their lives on our roads. You got that, lovely. Okay. Could I have a procedural motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Sorry.
Sorry.
Urgent business. I turn the page.
Neil?
I will now like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated in 19.1 and reports 19.2.
Thank you, Councillor Malik. Is there a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I second the motion.
That's all. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Malik, seconded by Councillor Hardy. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you to each and every one of you for coming out on such a cool evening. If you're not out when we get out of confidential, please travel safely. And I look forward to seeing you all at the next meeting at Taylor's Hill Youth and Community Centre on the 26th of June. Councillor Carley, please contain your excitement. I would also like to thank our visiting councillor from Whittlesea and congratulate her again on being the youngest elected female. Well done.
Hold that.
Keep that.
Just a bit, man. 10 past 10.
Thank you, Norma, for returning the pin.